false, incorrect accusations.
One woman accusing Cain is Karen Crossar. Her lawyer, Joel Bennett, says proof of the incidents is not necessary.
It's not a question of proof. The question is, did Mr. Cain know about these incidents, and what, if anything, did he do about them?
Penn State University's Board of Trustees says it'll create a special committee to investigate sex abuse allegations against former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. Head coach Joe Paterno is taking some heat by critics who say he should have done more about it as soon as he learned about it. But last night, people turned out for a rally at his home to support him. Paterno's son says reports of his dad's retirement from coaching are premature. However, Penn State grad and marketing company executive Roxanne Jones thinks heads need to roll now.
They need to fire a few people, including Joe, send some people to prison for what they did. It's absolutely criminal. And try to move on and clean up that program.
Mississippi voters rejected a state constitutional amendment that would have outlawed abortion and many forms of birth control and would have defined life as starting at conception. Felicia Brown-Williams with Planned Parenthood says it simply went too far.
I think voters rejected a measure that they understood to be dangerous and that they understood to be bad for women and families in Mississippi.
His spokesman says Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi won't run in the country's next parliamentary elections. He's been under intense pressure most recently because of Italy's tenuous economic situation, and now the yield on Italian bonds has risen above 7%. That's the level at which other countries asked for international bailouts. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event, and everything about it is
big.
Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Perlman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the internet.
Pardon?
Is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
Something has happened in Italy that Prime Minister Berlusconi's resignation announcement last evening was intended to prevent. The yield on Italian 10-year government bonds has risen above 7%. That means Italy's ability to afford paying back its loans as well as borrow new money is now in serious question. The country's parliament is set to vote on new austerity measures. That's the condition of Berlusconi's resignation. Once higher European markets have now fallen and U.S. stock futures have crumbled, S&P futures right now losing 26, NASDAQ futures down 47, Dow futures down 197. Two Asian companies reportedly are pooling their resources in an effort to buy out Yahoo. Reports say Alibaba Group of China and SoftBank of Japan are talking with private equity investors about additional funding to go after Yahoo without its blessing, immediately appealing to shareholders in a hostile bid. Again, S&P futures down 26. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If insurance was sold in the grocery store, it'd be easier to compare. Sydney here is in the market for car insurance.
That's right.
So what do you think of these brands? State Farm, Geico, Progressive, and Allstate.
Honestly, they're all pretty much the same to me.
Well, they all give safe drivers a discount, but look at the Allstate shelf.
What's that? A coupon?
Even better. It's a check. Only Allstate rewards safe drivers with an extra bonus every 6 months you're accident-free.
Nice.
Call Allstate today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call the local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Bonus check not available in every state. Feature is optional. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the Big Tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire event, and everything about it is
big.
Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Hello?
Quick, who has the best Veterans Day deals on appliances?
Home Warehouse. Oh.
Consider this your wake-up call.
It's the Sears Red Tag event. This Friday and Saturday, get 20 to 50% off Red Tag items. Up to 25% off all Kenmore appliances. Plus, get up to 15% off all other brands. So, what did I win?
Knowledge, my friend. Knowledge.
Think you know where to go? Think again. Sears, number one in home appliances. Exclusions apply. See store for details. Kenmore savings range from 5 to 25%. Other brands from 5 to 15%. Offer valid 11/11 through 11.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Progressive. Favoring or advocating progress, change, improvement, or reform, as opposed to wishing to maintain things as they are. Conservative. Disposed to preserve existing conditions or institutions, or to restore traditional ones, and to limit change. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. A rational path to follow in order to forge ahead, allowing for deliberate advancement and a way forward that benefits the entirety of society while allowing a difference of opinion. Well, two out of three ain't bad. Now, here's Tony Trupiano.
And booyah! Today's a booyah day. It's a good day to be a Democrat. Happy Wednesday to one and all. Congratulations, Democrats. Most of the millage is passed. Paul Scott is toast. Up in Genesee County, it is a good day to be a Democrat. I think we've sent a clear and definitive message, as we will talk about throughout the day today, that we've had enough. Oh, yes, we've had enough. Booyah, booyah, indeed. All right, let's take a look at what we got to do today. See, the singing yesterday helped me stay in a good mood, so maybe I'll sing the whole show today. First Shift the Musical. All right, I won't do that to you because I'm really, really bad at singing. Secretary Treasurer of UFCW is going to be with us. UFCW 951. They have had a huge, huge union victory that I want to share with you. Certainly fits into the theme of the day, victory. Want to guess what the first word's going to be? Anyway, John Kakmaki will be with us at 7:05. At 7:35, Carla Swift, president of the AFL-CIO, will check in. We'll talk election results. 7:50, Occupy Detroit. 8:05, Stephen Henderson from the Detroit Free Press. We'll also be talking election results. And Congressman Gary Peters will be with us at 8:35 to preview the gubernatorial, or I'm not the gubernatorial, the presidential debate with the GOP candidates this evening at Oakland University, which I will be at. So looking forward to the show today. Lots of election results today. Lots of stuff going on. Let's decide to do one thing, and let's get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Victory, V-I-C-T-O-R-Y, victory, victory, that's our cry. All right, so I wouldn't make much of a cheerleader, but with that said, I am so pleased with the majority of the election results that we got overnight. Yesterday was election day across the state of Michigan. In most municipalities, there were all kinds of issues on the ballot. Most of the millages passed. Disappointed that the one in Macomb County didn't pass. The special education millage, unfortunately, narrowly defeated. And my condolences to those that backed issues and or candidates, or you were a candidate that did not win, but victory in the bigger picture, as Democrats sent a clear and definitive message to Republicans across this great state of ours. We've had enough, and we're not going to take it anymore. Again, I mentioned the Paul Scott recall in Genesee County. Very close, but we won. But we won. And very pleased with that victory today. Victory is our first word. All right. Well, victory, actually it fits into where I'm going now because the Detroit Red Wings were victorious last night, Mr. Radford. I believe that Johan Franzen had a hat trick, an interesting hat trick at that, not a very traditional hat trick.
Was it a hat trick? I thought it was two.
No, man, it was three.
Okay. All right, yeah, 5-2 over the Avalanche. I didn't stay up to see the whole thing.
Well, one of the goals actually was a deflected puck off the tip of his skate. One of them was a legit goal, and the third one was an open netter.
Ah, yes, the famous open netter.
So, it's still a hat trick. I'm not going to take it away from him, but not in a very traditional way.
At least it's a win, right? After going 0-6 and
yeah, 7-5-1 now. 7-5-1.
I feel 5. Okay.
I feel better about that. So yeah, they won last night. Red Wings win. Yay, Red Wings!
You're all kinds of pumped up today. Still singing from yesterday.
Well, I'm happy with the election. Although turnout wasn't great, that disappoints me to some degree. By the way, the charter issue did pass in Detroit. We got plenty of time to talk about election results. Yeah, I'm in a good mood today. The Republican candidates are going to be in Oakland County today. And the shadows of Chrysler, and Mitt Romney's going to one more time have to explain why he wanted us to go bankrupt. And by the way, all of the presidential candidates are on record now saying they would have let the auto companies fail. And we would vote in Michigan for Republican. Why? So I'm looking forward to that. I'm going out there this evening with a group of people from UAW Local 174. There are going to be thousands of protesters out there today. I'll be one of many. I am going to sneak away for a little while and interview the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I also hope, and I'm sure I will, talk to, I'll get some audio from some of the people that are hanging out there, try to get some students as well. So looking forward to that. But I have a crazy busy day today. Between now and 2 p.m., I don't have 30 seconds to myself. Truly, I don't. So it's going to be a challenge. And then I have to, about 4 o'clock, head out to Oakland U. So I've got about a two-hour period of time today to get all of my work done. Jeff, that means that you need to make sure that I am incredibly efficient today.
Not me? I think you're efficient without me making sure of it.
Well, you do factor into my day, son. You are the producer of this show.
I gotcha.
No, I'm telling you, you have some responsibility in this. Don't walk away from it. That will be remembered.
Oh, we've got a good show tomorrow. We got a good show the rest of the week.
Okay. Well, again, I don't have any free time. I just don't. Got a busy day again tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Especially with the show. We got. Good. I don't want to go too far ahead, so I'll tell you about the guests. But today's show is packed.
Well, yeah, we have. But I already did that in case you weren't paying attention at the top.
I know. I heard that. I was going to preview tomorrow's show, and I figured, wait a minute, why am I doing that when we're already?
Well, no, it's okay to talk a little bit about tomorrow. We got David Hecker on tomorrow. We got Kevin Epling on. I think that's worthy of talking about.
Right. Yep. From Matt's Law.
Right. Matt's Safe School Law, which, by the way, has been scrapped. And the House has said no, we're not gonna use that law at all. So it's been scrapped now. So that won't be going forward. So we'll see what Kevin has to say about that. And of course, a tragic story anyway. It'll be good to talk to him. We posted yesterday on our Facebook page some maybe it was the day before, some video of Kevin Epling talking about this proposed law, and I'm sure he's thrilled that it's crashed and burned. But anyway, I did want to spend some time, and not considerable, but some time talking about what's happening at Penn State. That isn't just sports news, Jeff. That's become national news, and for profoundly good reasons. You and I were talking before the show, and I can't imagine that there aren't people that aren't aware of what's going on, but I'll let you go ahead and set it up.
I don't know what to say if you haven't been following. There's obviously a big scandal going on with a guy that was abusing kids, and Penn State covered it up for as long as they could, and now it's coming to light, and it's starting to engulf as many people as possible, losing their jobs and getting in trouble with the law, and it's going to be interesting to see how deep this goes and how much trouble Penn State gets into, because I had discussions yesterday with people saying, depending on what comes out in the next couple of days, the Big Ten might have to act and just say, look, we can't have you in anymore. I mean, that's how deep and how bad this looks for Penn State.
There were some questions yesterday whether they should even play their football game this coming upcoming weekend.
Well, I think they're obviously going to play. The kids on the team have nothing to do with it. This guy hasn't been involved. Well, I guess he's been involved with the program, but he has, as far as this team goes, this year's team, you got to feel bad for these kids because they had nothing. They had no idea that this was going on. They basically went to Penn State to play football. The fans, the same thing. The fans got blindsided. They had no idea this was going on, or you think somebody would have spoken up, but there's a lot of people who did know and didn't speak up.
Listen, it's heinous. You have a sexual predator, pedophile, who over the course of 12 years, Jeff, 12 years, molests upwards of maybe 20 boys as young as 7 years old. And how has this allowed? I mean, there are people that really need to answer some questions, but how was this allowed to go on?
That's what came out yesterday, is that that there's up to 20 already, but I don't think it's going to stop there. I mean, it sounds like it's going to go. The guy is completely arrogant about this. He's still decked out in Penn State stuff, and that basically thing gives the impression that he's not, that he thinks he's untouchable. Penn State will take care of him, and that makes me think that it's deeper. And, he to just keep bringing kids around Penn State and being seen with kids, even after people know, it's very arrogant of him to do this. So I don't think, that 20 is, I think it's probably more than 20.
Well, it's, again, beyond it being disgusting and sick and horrible, my heart goes out to these families. I read the indictment on Sunday. And it was heartbreaking to read what this man that supposedly, and let's not forget, we'll come back and talk about it after the break, but, he founded a very respectable nonprofit that helps troubled youth. And he unfortunately used it as a magnet, to molest children. And this has got to be, for those that are engaged in that nonprofit, this has to be a horrible nightmare for them. All right, anyway, we'll take a quick break here. Welcome to First Shift. Thank you for punching in this morning. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Truppiano. It's always great to be with you. We'll take the break, and we'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning to you, Tony Truppiano. Our total traffic update still doing pretty well. I-94, drivers coming in from the east side. Looks like we have a little bit of heavier traffic, those exiting near that 8-mile Vernier area. As you head up towards 696, it looks pretty good there. Or if you're heading down toward I-75, not yet seeing any big delays.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see rain today. Our high 66. Tonight, a slight chance of those showers, low near 37. Tomorrow, possibly some rain and a high near 46. Right now, it's light rain and 58 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Stop by your local Staples for 30% off any copy and print order of $30 or more. They'll print everything you need, from business cards to postcards. Offer ends 11/12. Get your coupon at staples.com. Staples, that was easy.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. The big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Stop by a participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11/30/11.
Recently on First Shift.
Just joining me now is Jerry Persaud, the Senior Vice President of Advancement at Gleaners Community Food Bank.
Probably the single biggest thing that's happening is happening at the federal level now, and that's looking at the food stamp program. In 2006, there were 26.5 million people participating in the food stamp program. Then you had the economic decrease, and in 2011, there were 44.2 million. That's a huge increase in the number of people seeking food help. And so if you cut that program by 10%, the jobs aren't there for people. What are they going to do? That will have a tremendous impact on what's going to happen at our local level.
First Shift with Tony Trujillo on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour, we're going to go to the phones. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org, and on Twitter at Tony Trupiano. Let's welcome David in Farmington to First Shift. Good morning, David. Thanks for punching in with us today.
Yeah, good morning. Listen, I want to, the upcoming debate, the question I would be most anxious to hear answered would be directed at Herman Cain. Yesterday I watched his press conference and he said he just wanted to get to the facts. I would like to see him ask and have the American Restaurant Organization to release the confidentiality waivers to the people that's come out and said, you know, that there's been sexual harassment suits, and be able to get in and see the papers and the statements that were taken and the investigation that was actually done on.
Yeah, but David, you got to understand that both sides have to agree to lift that confidentiality agreement, and so the alleged victim also has to approve that.
And I understand that.
Well, I'm just saying that may be the challenge.
Oh, I understand that, but it can't be done when he's... what's unfortunate is, with a couple of the gals, he's basically came out and said they were inadequate employees. And because they signed this confidentiality, they can't defend themselves in any way, shape, or form. So he's basically slandered their name, and they can't defend themselves because of the Confidentiality Act.
Yeah, no question that's true. And, you know, then David, he got into, as you're well aware, you know, that one of them filed bankruptcy. And that has nothing to do with what he did. You know, that has absolutely nothing to do. The people are not financially motivated to do this kind of stuff. They just want the truth to come out.
Right. He's besmirching them. And like I said, but... You know, and he says, well, I just want to keep to the facts. Well, okay, allow the facts to come out.
Right, well, and you're right. And there is some...
Allowing the facts to come out.
You're right. There is some obstruction, David. No question about that. It'll be interesting, and thank you for your call. It'll be interesting to see how they deal with this issue tonight, if they even delve into it. It'll really be interesting, especially if CNN and CNBC's moderators somehow approach the issue. Hard to tell at this point, but we'll find out this evening starting at 8 o'clock on CNBC. All right, going back to the Penn State Joe Paterno situation, the horrid situation there. Certainly more than Dirty's a program that had been, I don't know, Jeff, we could say it had been considered pristine. The Penn State program was supposedly the model program. And
all because of Jopa and his, you know, dedication to doing what's right, or at least what we thought up until. I mean, I don't want to implicate him too much at this point until we learn more, but it's just, you know, think about what the Big Ten has gone through in over a year and a half. The guy who everyone called the senator, Jim Tressel, wrote books on ethics and then found to be unethical. You then move on and say, well, at least we got Jopa. You know, he's been here forever. I know Penn State hasn't always been part of the Big Ten, but they have been for a long time now. And you think, okay, well, at least we still, you know, got somebody like Jopa in the conference. And then something like this happens at Penn State where you just think, you know, never would that, could that ever happen, you know?
Well, I do think that, you know, no matter what they find out, he does have some culpability in this. He did know something a long time ago. He did report it, but was there any follow-up done? You know, yes, he saw this guy with young children after he knew he had been accused of sexually molesting young children, and nothing perceivably was said. Even after he left the program, not Joe Pa, the accuser, the accused, even after he left the program, he continued to hang around the University of Pennsylvania campus on a very regular basis, and was seen with young children long after his employee with the university had been terminated. How many red flags, Jeff, do you need?
There's a lot of people who dropped the ball on this one. But I, for some reason, I keep going back. Maybe it's just because I don't want to believe Joe Paterno didn't do enough or didn't do...
But he didn't. He didn't do enough.
But if you think, I mean, I just keep thinking back, and it doesn't... there's a very small sliver of something here where, you know, the initial thing happens, and an investigation comes about. And then Jopa didn't have anything to do with this other than he was the coach at the time. But he's well aware that this guy got accused of showering with a young boy. But then the investigation just dies out. No charges filed. Nothing happened. We investigated and didn't find anything. So basically at that point, you're thinking, all right. Yeah, there is an accusation, but it didn't come to light, so, you know, it was a lie. If you're, you know, that's what you can come away with it. A couple years later, a grad assistant comes to you and says, this is what he saw. And I don't know exactly the detail he went into with Joe Paterno, but he's like, hey, I saw something. Joe Paterno passed it along, and the quote in the grand jury report is something of an inappropriate nature with a young boy. So, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, sure. But, you know, also, somebody's already, if you thought that the last one was a lie, then you're like, okay, here we go. Someone's accusing someone again. And you pass it along to your superiors. They tell you, hey, look, we're going to handle this. We're going to do an investigation. And again, investigation happens. Nothing comes out of it. Now, I still think, you know, at that point, you're like, all right, where there's smoke, there's fire. But he's already cut his ties with the football team. And Joe Paterno, everyone wants him to be, you know, the be-all, end-all of right, the superhero here. He's worried about a football team. And that's what, I mean, really, that's what he is, a football coach, not mayor of Pennsylvania or, you know, governor of Pennsylvania or anything. So he, twice an investigation, he's let the authorities handle it, and both times they've come back and, oh, it's not as big of a deal as you think it is. And so then, you know, that makes me wonder about how, you know, if Joe has an alibi here or not.
Well, I don't know that alibi is even the right word. I understand what you're saying. Again, there's so much we don't know. We don't know a lot. 99% of what happened behind the scenes. We don't know if Joe Paterno actively followed up. We don't know if he ever had a conversation with anybody at the university where he said, hey, listen, I'm really concerned about this. We don't know. We just don't know. I'm not saying he
did. That's a good point as well.
I'm not saying he didn't.
Because it sounds like every time that somebody came forward and said something, it would get to a certain point in the higher up. I mean, university police got involved, and then suddenly, bam, it just the report dies out. Like, somebody at the high level was taking care of this, and I have no idea why. What is the incentive there to take care, to put this under the rug? You know, it makes no sense at all.
Yeah, none. Anyway, you were also saying that there was a there's some conspiracy theory stuff going on with regard to a prosecutor that was at one time involved in investigating this.
Yeah, that's the report starting to circulate a little bit. A couple of websites reporting that the prosecutor who went after Sandusky in 98 with the showering with the young boy, he actually sent officers to the victim's house. They listened in on a phone call where Sandusky admitted on the phone that this happened. And you think right there, he's going hard after Sandusky. You got Sandusky admitting on the phone that this happened, and yet all suddenly, very abruptly, the whole thing just goes away. And then suddenly, and then a few years later, this prosecutor comes up missing. And it's a very foul play situation of him missing.
Well, we'll continue to keep an eye on it. We got to get to the break here. When we come back, we're going to get to some election results. Mayor Bing lays down a threat to organized labor. And I don't think it's an empty threat, but what will it mean? We'll take the break and we'll come back. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Our total traffic update, looking at the construction zone along M59. Drivers who come from 53, you're heading out toward Rochester Road. Then you start to see the orange barrels as you get from Crooks out toward Opdyke. And before too long, we'll start to see some slow going through there. But looks like right now, this time in the morning, we're still doing pretty well as you head out toward I-75.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see rain today. Our high 66. Tonight, a slight chance of those showers, low near 37. Tomorrow, possibly some rain and a high near 46. Right now, it's light rain and 58 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
USA, we're number one. Oh, wait. Iceland is number one. But we did beat out Poland and Slovakia, right? No. But going down the rankings, and there we are, number 27, fifth from the bottom. So our new national chant is USA, at least we're not last. A foundation in Germany has analyzed the social justice records of all 31 members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, ranking each nation in such categories as health care, income inequality, preschool education, and child poverty rate. The overall performance by the U.S., which boasts of being an egalitarian society, outranks only Greece, Chile, Mexico, and Turkey. Actually, even three of those countries performed better than ours in the education of preschoolers, and Greece did better than the U.S. on the prevention of poverty. Being at the bottom of the heap in social justice confirms the reality of both economic and political inequality that the Occupy Wall Street movement is protesting. It also helps explain why Occupy's grassroots uprising in America has spread so rapidly to more than 600 communities and has generated such broad public support. After all, our nation is fabulously rich, ranking well ahead of nearly all OECD members in national wealth, so there's no excuse for us sitting at the bottom of the list in education, health care, poverty, and other measures of a democratic and egalitarian society. This is Jim Hightower saying, bluntly put, we the people have let today's elites abandon America's founding principles of fairness, justice, and equal opportunity for all. These privileged few have purchased our government, stolen the wealth and economic future of working families, and reduced America to a plastic imitation of the country we thought we had. The Occupy Rebellion is overdue. Join it.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671.
That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
People want to thank the over 12,000 voters in this district, in this community, who are under a lot of pressure and still came out and said no. And while we came up a little bit short in this battle tonight, we're winning the overall war to reinvent Michigan. And the laws we made are better for Michigan citizens, not just the select few. And I know that fight's going to continue in Lansing tomorrow, and there's going to be a renewed resolve to continue moving Michigan down the right path. So this fight was always larger than just me, and I appreciate what everyone in this community has done to allow me to serve for 3 years.
And that is former state representative Paul Scott. We are going to go to the phones. He thinks there's any victory in this for him. He can think again. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Monica in Ypsilanti's on the other end of my line. And good morning, Monica. How are you, sweetheart?
Good morning, Tony. I'm doing good. How are you?
Do you ever sleep, Monica?
I try to, but I have been so geeked pretty much since, like, late last night, ever since I found out that Representative Paul Scott got recalled, and the people of Grand Blanc do and will have a voice inside of their democracy process. I just think it's awesome.
Yes, it is.
And definitely what the Michigan Educational Association did in regards to supporting them for that recall has turned out to be a positive result.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a big victory. This is a big victory for the state, Monica. I mean, it doesn't change the makeup of the legislature. It doesn't give the Democrats any kind of advantage. But what it does tell us, Monica, is that democracy works. When committed people truly make an effort, democracy works. And that's what this tells us more than anything.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think it's also got to keep going, keep that momentum going in the 2012, because obviously there's going to be some very key races here inside of our Michigan legislature that we're going to have to turn some things around in regards to what's going on in Lansing. So hopefully this will be the momentum to kick that off for next year coming in November. And I wanted to also comment on Herman Cain. I heard he's supposed to be coming at Plenty on Thursday.
Really?
Yeah, at the Big Sky Diner on East Course Road.
Well, well, well.
Mm-hmm, at 10 o'clock.
I have a feeling you're going to be there, Monica.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. It's right out of the corner from my house.
Well, even better. Hey, listen, if you end up going, make sure you let me know. We'll get you on the show the next day.
Okay. I will let you know.
All right.
All right. Have a good morning.
Thank you, Monica. God bless you, my friend. Monica's a true friend of First Shift and does her own radio show, online radio show, and she's often posting to our Facebook page, so you can check her out there. She's just a committed activist, and I happen to have a lot of respect for her. She does the She just does an excellent job. In fact, I was a guest on her show a couple weeks ago. It's the Reach Out Job Search Blog Radio Show. And she co-hosts it with our friend Autumn Smith from the west side of the state. All right, yesterday Dave Bing's been making a lot of noise about and we've got a situation in Flint that we need to get to as well. But Dave Bing, the mayor of Detroit, has been making issue about Detroit may need an emergency manager. And so he has now threatened organized labor in the city of Detroit. And According to Fox 2, this is what Dave Ming had to say.
You know, I got a chance to speak with some of the union presidents before they walked in. They thought they'd be asked to take concessions, but when they came out, they were absolutely floored by what Mayor Bing put on the table. Let me tell you a little bit about what he's outlining. For one, he's asking for a 10% pay cut. Then there's also going to be layoffs, about 1,000 layoffs across union membership. Now, he did not make any distinction between whether it would be police and fire or which unions, but he said 1,000 layoffs. Then he's asking employees to take on more of their health care costs, 30%. Now, that's a 10% increase from what they're covering now. And he's also talking about outsourcing public lighting. Now, it's just a few of the things he put on the table. Union presidents say what Mayor Bing is asking for is insulting.
Mind you, the kind of ass that he's putting in will literally wreck the families who work for the city of Detroit.
What is he asking for?
Cuts and more cuts and more cuts.
Of course, he said if we don't do anything, we're going to get an emergency manager, you know.
At the end of the day, he is saying your job still won't be safe. Many of you will still be without jobs, but while you're waiting to become unemployed, you're going to make less, pay more for your health care, decimate whatever pension you get, and that's life in Detroit.
What are you feeling right now?
Anger. What else can you feel?
Now, Mayor Bing refused to take any questions from reporters today, but he did release a statement. He says the concessions he requested will result in $42 million in fiscal year 2012 savings from city employees and $118 million annually. And he's also asking unions to hire their own financial advisors so they can take a look at the books to see just how bad the situation really is. Live in downtown Detroit, I'm Alexis Wiley, Fox 2 News.
All right, Alexis, thank you so much for that audio. Now, you know, let's stop and think about what this means. What this means at the end of the day, we can all the BS aside, this would put the average city worker under poverty wages. Yeah. It would put the average city worker under poverty wages. The majority of the city of Detroit workers would assuredly be eligible for food stamps at this point. And the mayor is saying that unless they do this, it's over. It's done. He can't do anything more. It is up to the unions to solve this problem. So what's the difference between Mayor Bing and Rick Snyder, except they spell their names differently? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. There's no negotiating. Jeff, we need to reach out to AFSCME, and we need to get them on the show. Because AFSCME is, I'm sure, as we heard, they're angry. And they should be angry. They just took a 10% pay cut. He's asking for another 20% plus another 10% in health care. And, folks, this puts the majority of city workers, City of Detroit workers, the majority of them under the federal poverty guidelines. So they will be working a full-time job, but be eligible for aid. And that's okay somehow? Someone want to explain this to me? Has the mayor effectively downsized city government? Is he getting everything he possibly can out of his cost reductions? I don't have the answer to that question. I do not. But to expect, again, the laborers to take on the brunt of this financial burden, telling them to go out and hire their own financial analyst. I mean, come on. I don't know. This makes no sense. You know, Jeff, we didn't cover this story last week, but they had to give another $9.2 million back to the federal government for another program that they didn't have the staff to administer the program.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And how much, I mean, they've given back, what, 30-something million dollars in the last 3 or 4 months to the federal government because they don't have the wherewithal to properly administer these programs. This has nothing to do with the union workers, by the way, that are being asked to take the brunt of these cuts. They're not the ones that administer these programs. You know, these are management level folks that are forcing the city to send federal dollars back. How embarrassing is that?
Yeah, what was the first time it was the Head Start program that had to send money back?
Yeah.
They couldn't hire a couple of people to use the money up, so if you don't use the money by a certain time, the federal government takes it back.
Yeah. This program, the $9.2 million program, would have provided cost savings to people in their homes, would have given them money to winterize or summerize their house. And some people were actually told that the program was bankrupt when it had over $9 million in it because they couldn't administer the program. People were promised monies that never got the money. And the mayor wants to put this all on the back of organized labor in the city of Detroit and how unfair that is and how wrong it is. It's not just unfair, it's wrong. It places the burden where it needn't be. And if I were a city of Detroit worker today, I would be thinking general strike. First, what the mayor has done to the mechanics and the bus system is absolutely embarrassing. And now he's about to do this to every other department that has a union worker in it, which is just downright embarrassing, and it's wrong. And Mayor Bing wants us to believe he's a Democrat? He's not a Democrat. This is just ridiculous. Now, let's travel a little further north. Just a little further north to Flint, Michigan. And guess what? Rick Snyder yesterday has decided and announced that Flint needs an emergency manager. And you don't think that's politically motivated? What just happened to Paul Scott? Now, guess where he's from? 1 + 1 = 2. We'll come back and talk about it. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. We're paying attention, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Governor. We're paying attention. We don't like the way you two smell these days. Let's take the break and we'll come back. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hey, Tony. You know, I'm not a real liberal guy. I'm not a real union guy. We don't agree on a whole lot, but I really enjoyed your show. You become a new stop in the morning.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. The big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy 4 select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Stop by a participating Ford dealer for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 11-30-11.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us now is Curtis Ellis, Executive Director of the American Jobs Alliance. Tell us, what is the American Jobs Alliance all about?
Individuals across the country who care very much about having jobs in the U.S. and care very much about having a healthy domestic manufacturing base and domestic service base. That is, let's just talk turkey here, put it straight, not outsourcing. We can't be having everything made around the world and imported into this country. Americans have to produce what we use. We have to be producers as well as consumers, or else we'll never get out of the financial mess we're in. We're a post-industrial service economy. I don't have to tell you or your listeners what that's done to this country. You're at ground zero there in Detroit. We have grass growing in the streets of major cities. Cities have never seen a depopulation like this since the Black Plague swept Europe.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiani
on 1310 WDTW.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Tribbiani.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We are going to go to the phones again. 888-552-3595. The mayor's given me plenty of reasons to be downright pissed off this morning. In fact, when I saw this morning, I got up at 2 o'clock today because I wanted to read election results. And the top story in the Free Press webpage was this story about what the mayor wants to do to the city of Detroit union workers. It's just dead wrong. Let's go to the phones and welcome Bamani in Detroit. My brother, where you been? I haven't heard from you in a while.
All right, how you doing?
Well, I'm good. Where you been?
I've been around the downtown, hanging out with the downtown, finding out all that stuff that's going on down there.
All right, all right. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I just like to support the unions and not support Dave Bing. Dave Bing is out of control, apparently. I don't know why they can't get that recall together, because they need to get that man out of there, because he don't know what he's doing at all. I mean, that's what the sentiment is in the community. He's incompetent. He don't know what he's doing. He's sending money back. You know, he's just the wrong person for Detroit.
He's embarrassing. Yeah, he's embarrassing, Bamani.
Right, he is embarrassed. He is the wrong person for Detroit. He's just a total incompetent. I mean, you just have to go down there and see how incompetent Dave Bing is. Just ridiculous.
No, it's to the point where, you know, maybe they do need an emergency manager. I almost hate to say that, but if this man can't handle the job, then he doesn't need to have the job.
No, he doesn't need the job. He definitely doesn't need a job. He cannot handle the job. He can't, you know, he's asking for an emergency manager, and they send him money back. I mean, how incompetent is that?
Yeah, that's really bad. It's really bad. Brother, thank you for the call. I'm glad to hear from you. Glad you're doing okay.
All right, take care.
Thank you. 888-552-3595. My good friend Tom in Detroit joins us now on the other line. Tom, thanks for punching in this morning. Good morning to you.
Yeah, how are you, Tony?
Good. Congratulations on the charter passing, by the way.
And thank you. And I'd like to say this. I'd like to, you know, say congratulations to those charter members who sacrificed personal and family time to do what they did. I mean, you know, like we've said before, it's not a perfect document, but it's a whole lot better than the one that was amended in 1997, because there's now teeth in there to deal with, you know, waste, corruption, fraud, and all of that kind of stuff that's in city government.
Absolutely.
But that aside, in regards to Mayor Bing, I remember reading an article last week in the paper, and he was kind of like, say, well, you know, if an EM is going to be appointed, he would be open to taking the position. And he said, and then he says this, you know, about the devil you know as opposed to the devil you don't know. Well, sometimes the devil you know, I mean, you know, they're, you know, just so that much devilish that you're willing to take a chance on another devil. And I just don't understand how you can sit there in good faith and sit there and say, well, okay, I want this thing about the EM. And like you mentioned, you sent $9.2 million back to the government that was supposed to go to help poor folk, all right? And, you know, to be personal about this, Tony, when Mayor Bing was elected, okay, I wished him nothing but the best. And, you know, hopefully that he would get in there and get this thing called Detroit right. I mean, I realize, you know, we didn't get into this overnight and we won't get out of it overnight. But, I mean, my God, you know, things have not gotten better. I heard an interview with Vicky Thomas last week where she asked him about April of this year when they talked, say, well, how are things? And he says, they've gotten worse. And I'm going, well, wait a minute now. You know, in, what, 6 months now, things have gotten worse. He didn't say better or about the same. He said worse. But you want to be the one to sit there as the czar and be the emergency
manager. And, Tom, there is the point, and I want to thank you for your call. We just have a lot of callers this morning. But there's the point. What he's saying, and without saying it, but what he's saying is, if you let me be the emergency manager and I don't have to deal with the city council, I can fix this thing. So as long as I don't have to practice democracy, and this is exactly what it's saying, as long as I can be a dictator, I can fix this thing, but don't ask me to work with people because I don't know how to do that. That's exactly the message Dave Bing is sending to the people of Michigan, not just the people of City Detroit. Let's go to Jeff in Milford. My brother, good morning to you. Thanks for punching in today, Jeff.
Good morning. It sounds like everybody else is saying what I was already thinking.
That's all right. Let's hear it.
And, you know, I mean, and it's like what's already been said, you know, that if he can't do the job and he wants to bring in an emergency financial manager, and then he wants to appoint himself as it, you know, that's like saying I'm incompetent, fire me, and then, oh, by the way, I'll figure out another way to fix this problem.
Well, I'm so offended by everything this man does anymore. He has no respect for democracy, has no respect for the Democratic Party, has no respect for organized labor, and he expects us to take him seriously as a, you know, listen, and I'm going to say it one more time, Jeff, so goes Detroit, so goes Michigan.
You're right. Yep.
And we need leadership. And what this man provides is not leadership. He should be embarrassed. He should be absolutely embarrassed by what he's done to this city.
Exactly.
All right. Brother, thank you so much. I appreciate the call. 888-552-3595. Let's go to Jim in Garden City. Jim, welcome to First Shift. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm well. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I watched Ohio show the Republicans what labor can do, or what common guys, the 99ers can do. And I want to thank McConnell and all these people for giving motivation. And I want to tell Snyder, he's made it personal. He's taxed my pension. So I'm going to be working it real hard. And I got a warning for the Democrats. You best be courting the common folk and not take it for granted that we're going to vote that way.
No, I think that we got their attention for sure, Jim, and I appreciate the call. Jim's right. Now is the opportunity. My good friend Amir in Detroit joins us now. Another guy I haven't heard from in a while. So, brother, where you been?
Oh, working and getting moving, just doing little knickknacks. But I will always listen to you and continue to listen to you, my brother.
I appreciate that. What's on your mind this morning?
You know, I could actually turn Detroit around in 6 months to a year, where our unemployment would be lower than the national average by probably 3 percentage points. And also we'll have safety, we'll have education, and we'll actually have better neighborhoods, because my focus would be on the people. So those that are in unions and all that, You are the driving force behind Detroit. The people are the driving force behind Detroit. I mean, you can't have a city, you can't have a county, you can't have a state, you can't have a nation without people. So why are we messing over the people? So when we get politicians in office that actually care about people and will talk about an issue, instead of Mayor Bean coming out telling the unions to take these huge concessions, he should have been at the federal government, at the state, telling them, quit starving our people of the money that they put into the system.
Absolutely. Amir, we got to get to the break. I appreciate your thoughts. Kevin, sorry, we just couldn't get to you. John Cacmackey on the other side. I'm Tony Trupiano.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes some pockets of slow traffic on 696. Those making their way between I-75 heading out toward I-94. Looks like we've got some slow going as you head toward Van Dyke and Grosbeck again out to 94. Westbound 696 getting a little busier heading in toward I-75.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see rain today. Our high 66. Tonight, a slight chance of those showers, low near 37. Tomorrow, possibly some rain and a high near 46. Right now, it's light rain and 58 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. CNN News is next.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, what next for Penn State? Former assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky's indicted on charges of child sex abuse. Two top university officials are indicted in an alleged cover-up and resigned. Head coach Joe Paterno is under pressure from some critics who say he should have done more earlier about the situation, although his supporters are coming to his defense. Former All-American LeVar Arrington played for Penn State when Sandusky was coaching.
You feel almost betrayed. You know, you feel like you were part of something that maybe wasn't what you thought it was.
Penn State trustees say they're forming a committee to investigate the sex abuse scandal. Republican presidential candidate Herman Cain continues to deny sexual harassment charges against him. He says he is not withdrawing from the race.
As far as these accusations causing me to back off and maybe withdraw from this presidential primary race, ain't gonna happen.
Cain described his latest accuser as a troubled woman put up to making false accusations by people trying to derail his candidacy. A constitutional amendment that would have outlawed nearly all abortions in Mississippi has failed at the polls. The measure was organized by the Colorado-based group Personhood USA. President Keith Mason says they don't see it as a defeat.
We accomplished our mission of being a voice for the voiceless.
The amendment also would have defined life as starting at conception. Mortgage giant Fannie Mae, which is still struggling in the flailing housing markets, asking for another $7.8 billion from taxpayers. It reports a net loss of more than $5 billion in the third quarter. CNN's Tammy Luby says, troubled or not, Fannie and its twin, Freddie Mac, are needed.
Basically, we can't just let them fail because if you think that it's hard to get a mortgage now, it's going to be a heck of a lot harder to get it if Fannie and Freddie didn't exist.
This latest plea for money brings Fannie Mae's total bailout to nearly $113 billion. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Cold and flu season's coming, so stock up on everything you need before it gets here. Walmart has low prices every day on everything to fight back. Like a pack of 225 Clorox disinfecting wipes for surfaces, just $9.97. Advil for fever and headaches, and Robitussin Peak Cold for cough and chest congestion. Wow, I better stock up on this stuff. A radio announcer with a cold? Not good. Save money. Live better. Walmart. Use this directly, keep out of reach of children. Prices subject to change.
College.
You join the military to serve your country.
Commission.
You work.
Deployments.
You sacrifice.
Promotions.
You spend your lifetime building toward retirement.
Retirement.
Now, you could lose it. Right now, government leaders are making severe cuts to your military benefits. But just $17 makes you a member of the Military Officers Association of America, MOAA, and gives us more ammunition in the fight to protect the benefits you earn. Visit MOAA.org/yourvoice right now.
More tough news from Toyota, the company whose reliability reputation was hit by massive recalls last year, then suffered through the Japan earthquake and tsunami this year, is announcing a fresh recall. 550,000 Toyotas, most of them in the U.S., will be brought back to dealers to fix problems, making it difficult to steer. The affected models are older, including some Camrys, Highlanders, Siennas, and Solaras from 04 through 06. Yahoo has made no secret about its desire to get together with other companies and joint ventures, even partial ownership. But this is not what it had in mind. Reports say Alibaba Corporation of China and SoftBank of Japan are talking with private equity funds about an all-out purchase of Yahoo. Bond yields in Italy have risen to a level that makes paying back loans nearly impossible, some economists say. That has slammed European stocks down 2%. S&P futures now falling 30 points. NASDAQ futures down 49. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If insurance was sold in the grocery store, it'd be easier to compare. Sydney here is in the market for car insurance.
That's right.
So what do you think of these brands? State Farm, Geico, Progressive, and Allstate.
Honestly, they're all pretty much the same to me.
Well, they all give safe drivers a discount, but look at the Allstate shelf.
What's that? A coupon?
Even better. It's a check. Only Allstate rewards safe drivers with an extra bonus every 6 months you're accident-free.
Nice.
Call Allstate today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24/7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent or 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Bonus check not available in every state. Feature is optional. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you, Fiona?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors ad required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Norman.
Yes, Mr. Fernwell.
I've got an important job for you. Bob from Account Temps is on his way.
Bob?
Make sure he has an office, a laptop, some of the little yellow sticky notes.
Bob from Account Temps?
Yes, they always have highly skilled temporaries. Why, we may hire him full-time.
Full-time?
That'll free us up to go after new business, do more for our current clients.
Surf the Internet.
Pardon?
But is that out loud?
Call Account Temps for your temporary accounting and finance needs. 1-800-803-8367. Account Temps, a Robert Half Company.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Absolutely, and it's a fabulous morning not only to be a Democrat, but to be a member of organized labor. Although the mayor of Detroit may be going after organized labor, AFSCME is up for this fight. I can promise you that. They're not going to give in. And, yeah, I got to calm down a little bit because I got to go to the doctor later, and I don't want my blood pressure to be too high. Oh, it's too late for that. This is just good therapy. But there is some good news. I want to share some of that good news with you in this hour. A little later on, 7:35, the president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift, will be with us. We're going to talk some election results. Again, a lot of stuff to be happy about this morning. Our Occupy Detroit folks will be with us at 7:50. But before we do any of that, it is my pleasure to bring onto the show right now John Kakmaki. John is the Secretary Treasurer of the United Food and Commercial Workers Local 951, and they have recently organized a new company that is a huge victory in the meatpacking world, but a huge victory for organized labor in general. So, John, I want to welcome you to the show this morning and congratulate you on the JBS organizing front, and I'm just very, very proud to have you on today.
Well, good morning, Tony, and thanks for having me.
It is truly my pleasure. Let's you know, I got to tell you, at a day and age where it gets, you know, organizing is not easy. There's no question. Anybody that does union organizing knows how tough that is. What you folks have accomplished with the UFCW is a pretty major victory. Let's talk a little bit about who JBS is, because people might know them better as Swift and Company. But, you know, again, a major victory for the UFCW and organized labor in general.
Well, thank you again. It was a group effort. We had help from our international and the region, as well as locals 951, 876, and some locals in Ohio. JBS is a Brazilian company, and they own at least 50 to 60% of the meat manufacturing or meat processing plants in this country. And we were the last plant in Plainwell, Michigan, to organize. So now, happily to say that 100% of the meatpacking plants that JBS operates in this country are union.
That's just really, really good news. And in terms, John Kakmaki, of numbers, how many new union brothers and sisters do we have with this new agreement?
Well, we've got about 1,000. They are moving their cold storage unit from another part of the country to this location, so we'll probably pick up another couple hundred people within the next, I'm guessing, 4 to 6 months.
Oh, that is just really, really good news. Now, you know, I got to ask, because I know this is not a process that happens overnight. How long did it take you folks to get this deal put together, John?
Well, we've been working on it now for probably about 2 years. And it really kind of came together middle of last summer when we do a radio show too, Tony. It's not in competition of yours. It's on our side of the state. It's in Spanish. And we had gotten a few phone calls from some of the workers there. And we met with them, and one thing led to another, whereby on an August 4th evening, we had a meeting where over 300 people showed up. And at that meeting, every one of the people had signed authorization cards. The only problem we had is we actually ran out of these cards for them to sign, which is a problem I've never had in my 27 years.
That's a good problem, John Kakmaki. That's a good problem to have. Yeah, absolutely.
It sure was. And, you know, we had a great support from the Burmese community, as well as Hispanic, African-American, and Caucasian. I mean, it was just a wonderful thing to happen. A lot of people were empowered by, I'd say, the middle of September, once they started to see some traction on some of the issues that were there. And they saw some people moving in the right direction. It was really something to see. You know, I haven't seen that in 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, John, let me just share with you. You know, I've just started a new campaign. It's kind of my personal campaign to get some folks to organize. I get a lot of people that reach out to me and they say, man, I want to do it, but I'm afraid. And I've had a couple organizers on the show to walk us through exactly how to do that. Let's, if you could, John, just for a minute, talk about, you know, the courage that it takes to do that. Because there is, you know, if you can find the courage to organize your workplace, there is a great payoff in the end. And I realize it takes work, John. I know that. But the payoff is huge.
No, it does, and it takes courage. It takes some trust. One of the things that we've done now, Tony, in the last few years is what we've done is we've actually met with workers, and what we try to do is find out whether or not we could sue this employer. And it's through that process where, in the courts, we go through what's called discovery, and you can get all sorts of information. And frankly, what that does is it gives you leverage. It gives you leverage in the campaign. It gives you leverage with the bosses or the corporate people that you're having to deal with, because it's through that lawsuit where you have access to all sorts of information that can benefit not only the campaign but the workers themselves. So, for example, if we met with Tony, and Tony, you said you were being discriminated against based on color, let's say, and there's a wage issues, we will then work with the attorneys and file suit to get leverage with this employer. And it's through this process where, as we start to go through the discovery and we start to get more and more people interested in this lawsuit, because it's a rampant problem with this particular employer, let's say, it gives them not only leverage, but it gives them a sense of empowerment and something's going to happen. And we don't even talk about organizing in the beginning. We don't even bother to bring it up. It's about halfway through that lawsuit that we then start to talk about, okay, what can the union do? Because as soon as we get done with our lawsuit, then the employer is going to go back to what he or she always has done. But if you have the union there to make sure it doesn't happen, that's where we then come in. So it's a little different a wiggle to what's been normally or traditionally goes on in a typical organizing campaign.
Well, and John, it also brings up the point that, you know, organizing is not just about hourly wage, and it really isn't. And in fact, you know, it's certainly a big part, a big piece of that movement. But having union protection goes far beyond just dollars per hour, and you've just proven that by what you just said to us.
No, that's correct. I mean, most people, you're absolutely right. Most people, 9 out of 10 people will organize because the lack of respect, dignity they have on the job. Especially in this economy, people are fearing their jobs. The employers know it. They take full advantage of it time and time and time again. And that's what starts to set this thing in motion. It's not so much that they want more money. It's rather they just want to keep what they got. And that's the leverage that the employers have right now with high unemployment, people in unsure of what's going to happen in the future, and with these employers. They're always threatening to leave. They're always threatening to do this, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And that's really the basis with which most people organize. It's not about, for example, benefits or wage increases. It's really about having a say in the workplace and not being able to be, you know, essentially fired at will in the state of Michigan.
Well, I'm so proud of what you folks were able to accomplish, John Kekmecki. I'm just, you know, as a member of the UFCW, because I am a member of the UFCW, it's just nice to know that our membership, our brothers and sisters, grows by about 1,200 people. That's never a bad thing. You know, we love a big family in the UFCW. And so to grow that family is just absolutely wonderful. And Jen, I've got to think that there are a lot of grateful people working for JBS Packing today, as they know that moving forward, they're protected, their wages protected, their safety rules are protected, and they've got somebody that's on their side. And that, I've got to imagine that feels awfully good for these folks.
Oh, it does, and they're very, very grateful. It's a wonderful community of workers there. We're real fortunate to have found the people there and found and developed the leadership there to be able to sustain the campaign and now bring it to a conclusion and then get ready for negotiations. I think everyone's pretty excited. I think we're looking forward to a good relationship with the JBS company, and through this process, you know, hope to expand a coalition, not just with the United Food and Commercial Workers Unions and the Michigan Development Corps, but rather with the Teamsters and rather with the auto workers, and really start to develop, you know, models for organizing, because it is really about growing the organization and the movement, because the more people you have in the union movement, the stronger your contracts are going to be, the stronger your workplace say is going to be, and the more power people have, average poor people, the middle class of this country, have at the workplace.
Couldn't have said it better.
Yeah, we're not about you know pushing people out of business. We've never been about that. We're about having a say in the workplace.
Yeah, no question. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for your time this morning. Again, congratulations on
well, thank you,
what
Tony.
I want to think is a historic contract, and good luck with negotiations.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me again.
Now, my pleasure, John Kekmecki, again the Secretary Treasurer of UFCW Local 951. Before we go to break, this is a great opportunity for me to remind you that I have got a toll-free number for it's specifically for you folks, okay? No one else is calling this number but the people that listen to this show. If you want to organize your workplace, and I didn't have John on just to do this little promotion right now, but it just seems to make sense. So let me give you that number again. If you want to organize your workplace, you don't need to be afraid. You can do it totally anonymous. And when you're really feeling comfortable, but you need to get your questions answered. So just call this number, 1-800-321-6406, 1-800-321-6406. Just tell them you're interested in organizing your workplace. Tell them why. Ask any question you might want to have, and you'll get an answer. Again, you can do it totally anonymous. And then when you're ready to move forward, you have the courage and the strength to do it, they're there for you. 1-800-321-6406. Quick break here. We'll go open lines on the other side. Feel free to give us a call. Debate today at Oakland U. We'll talk about that. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us on First Shift.
The hottest Michigan news talk is on First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning, Tony. Our total traffic update includes wet roadways out there. Some areas seeing that rain come down pretty heavy. Looks like you need extra time this morning. You're seeing slowdowns coming in I-96 eastbound. And remember, as you come in from the far west along 96 east, we've got that construction going on from Kensington to Kent Lake. Drivers are going to find it's extra slow through there. Orange barrels and rain. You got to give yourself extra time.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. We are going to see rain all day today. Our high, though, 66. Tonight, look for some slight showers, a low near 37. Tomorrow, we do have a chance of rain and lower temps, though. Our high, only 46 degrees. Right now, we have light rain, 56 at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow crabs.
Are you sand or snow? Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at Facebook.com/Chapstick.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Owning a home may become harder for future generations of Americans. That's why realtors are working to protect home ownership. Visit houselogic.com/homeownership to learn more. A message from the National Association of Realtors, official sponsor of the word home.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, guys. Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you. It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after the hour. As you know, tonight at Oakland University, the minus Buddy Romer, that'd be nine, but they don't recognize him. Eight presidential candidates on the Republican side of the ticket want your vote. They'll be at Oakland U to perform from 8 to 10. It's a performance because they all got to put on an act. As we're finding out with Mitt Romney, you know, let him go bankrupt, Herman Cain, you know, grabby, grabby, grabby. These guys are just not what they want us to believe they are. With that said, our good friends at Channel 7 put together a little debate preview, which we thought we would share with you right now.
There's definitely buzz about the whole Herman Cain situation. We're expecting to hear some questions about the sexual harassment claims, but really here the students want to know about the economy and jobs. National media is flocking to Oakland University as the school preps for the next Republican presidential debate tomorrow night. Throngs of reporters will be on hand to cover the two-hour showdown, which will focus on jobs, the economy, and Michigan.
A lot of my friends are trying to get jobs right now, and it's like impossible. and they still can't get stuff. I mean, obviously it's a problem.
The eight GOP candidates will also likely face questions about the auto bailout. Political science professor David Duleo says this is a tough issue for Republicans.
They've come out so strongly against it, most of them, that I think it's probably best to stick to your guns and not change or not try to reframe it or recast it, because then it just opens you up to a different sort of criticism.
The debate format will feature the candidates behind podiums taking questions from cable TV moderators. And beyond the economy, it's likely Herman Cain will be put on the spot to answer questions about sexual harassment claims.
I'm sure that people will be talking about that, and it will be one of the main things that people will be focusing on.
But for this freshman who will be voting for the first time, he says to earn his vote, these politicians need to impress him.
It's my vote. I want to know what you are going to offer for me and the country, and how you're going to excel from that point. And if you're going to be a leader, then how are you going to do it? That's my question.
Of the 1,400 spots at the athletic arena where this debate is being held, only 60 seats were given to students and faculty here at Oakland University. The rest were distributed through the organizers and the Republican Party. We'll, of course, have full coverage of this event tomorrow.
All right. And so if you're going out there to protest the candidates, now, you know, you're kind of on your own. We don't have any more room on the buses, but that's okay. There's plenty of room if you want to come out. Look for me. I did find out late in the afternoon yesterday that I'm going to be doing a little interviewing the chairwoman of the Democratic National Committee, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, congresswoman from Florida, will be there with our own chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer. And so I'll be taking some time to interview both of them and certainly be looking for some people to capture some audio from during the pre-debate festivities. I plan to get back in time to watch most of the debate from home. And, of course, I'm a wimp, so I got to get to bed early to do what I do so well, which is get up early to do this. So it's the sacrifice we make for those things we love. And we do love this show, that is for sure. All right, so I'm going to hold off a little bit. I do want to mention this before we even get to our Occupy Detroit segment. I talked to Ryder Bush yesterday. Ryder's very active with the Occupy movement. They need some folks to work security at the Occupy Detroit camp. And so I'm doing this separate from our segment at 7:50 because it needs a little more time than I can probably give it in that segment. If you're interested in working security, no, you don't get to carry a gun. Relax. You don't work alone. All right. You can do this whenever you have time. You just need to commit to a 3-hour block of time. All right. So there are 3-hour shifts. You can do it whenever you have time. You'll be giving a walkie-talkie. Again, you're not going to be alone. There will be somebody with you at all times. This is not a dangerous job. They just need people to help canvas the camp. If you have time and can volunteer to do this, could you please give Ryder a call? His name is Ryder, W-R-I-T-E-R. Give Ryder a call at 248-837-9592. That's 248-837-9592. Or you can send him an email. It's WLBush, B-U-S-H, WLBush66 at yahoo.com. You can also send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to send you the information. But again, they're looking for people to volunteer to work security at the camp in 3-hour shifts. You can work whenever you have time to do it. You would be given walkie-talkies. And again, no one works a shift alone. So you will have somebody with you. This is not a danger situation. I want to underscore that, as Ryder did to me. They just need more volunteers to give those that have been doing it a little bit of a break. And so I'll be mentioning this from time to time until Ryder says, nope, we got enough. And I don't know that they're ever going to have enough. But that's okay. More than happy to pass that along to you. The anti-bullying legislation, the House Republicans are now saying it will not go forward as it was presented in the Senate. Well, that's good news. But we still know they don't want to enumerate this new law. They don't want to say, they don't want to use the word gays or lesbians or bicurious or transgendered. They don't want to do it because they're basically homophobic and can't admit it publicly. So that's really what's going on there. And it's just the truth. I'm not picking on Republicans. They just have a real issue with the fact that we're all created equal in God's eyes. For whatever reason, they can't endorse that. And they're going to go to this obscure quote in the Bible that if we were to hold every quote in the Bible verbatim, you know, there's a lot of things that we wouldn't be doing that most of us do. Like you wouldn't wear polyester and you wouldn't work on Sunday. I could go on and on. All I'm saying is, folks, they're not going to give us the bill that we need, or the law that we need. So it'll be interesting to see what the Republicans in the House come up with. Our good friend, Dr. Jennifer Martin, sent me an email last night thanking me for covering this, which is not a problem. And so we now know that Senate Bill 137 is dead. It's dead in the water. Now, Senator Gretchen Whitmer was supposed to be on Anderson Cooper 360 with Anderson Cooper last night, but again got bumped for breaking news. I'm going to assume it was election related because I really don't know. We're trying to get her on the show for Friday. You'll recall her impassioned speech on the Senate floor the day they passed Matt's Safe School Law. Again, Matt's dad, Kevin, will be with us on tomorrow, actually. So we'll look forward to that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break here. Carla Swift with the Michigan AFL-CIO on the other side. So we're going to look forward to that. Talk a little election. We got a lot of reasons to be happy. It's still a booyah day, I promise. Let's take the break and be back on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update includes some slow going on the Lodge. M10 northbound at Claremont, we've got an accident trying to clear from the left lane, so that's slowing down the ride for drivers trying to head out of downtown, making your way past the Davison and towards Southfield 696. The southbound side of the Lodge also seeing some pockets of slow traffic, but everybody needs to be a little extra slow this morning. With rain coming down, it's dark, and just as traffic picks up, you got to keep your speeds down.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see rain throughout the day, but our high is going to be 66 degrees. Tonight, there is a slight chance of showers. Our low, 37. Tomorrow, our high, only 46, but also a chance of rain. It's already 56 degrees with rain at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Ohio voters have spoken in a historic vote, affirmed collective bargaining rights for public employees in our state.
We are Ohio's Melissa Fazekas on the crushing defeat Ohio workers handed to the Republican attack on public worker collective bargaining rights. Voters overwhelmingly rejected the attack on collective bargaining in Tuesday's vote, repealing the law passed by Ohio's GOP.
Tonight is really about moderate, middle-class Ohioans sending a message to our leaders and our nation. They clearly and emphatically said to the politicians who passed Senate Bill 5 and supported Issue 2, we don't turn our backs on the people who watch ours, and they use their citizens' veto to reject Issue 2.
Fazekas hopes this huge win for workers will energize Wisconsin's recall of Governor Scott Walker for his very similar attack on collective bargaining.
We saw the pictures of you protesting outside of your state house and inside your state house. It was an encouraging sight, and I think that any time that workers in middle class Ohioans or Wisconsins can stand together and take their democracy back, it's an incredible night here in Ohio. We hope our enthusiasm just spreads to other states where workers are being attacked.
Workers locked out of American sugar plants in North Dakota are being denied unemployment benefits, Jesse Russell reports.
Workers that have been forced off the job by American Crystal Sugar at two North Dakota plants won't be able to collect unemployment benefits. The three Republican members of the North Dakota Senate Delayed Bills Committee voted on Monday to deny the request, with one member expressing he was concerned that the committee would be perceived as choosing sides. The workers in North Dakota, who are not on strike, have been locked out and unpaid since August 1st. American Sugar has also locked out employees at plants in Minnesota, but that state has allowed those employees to collect unemployment.
Workers at a national beef packing plant in Dodge City, Kansas, have voted in favor of representation by the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union. That victory comes after 2 months of similar achievements for the union. In October, the UFCW organized workers at JBS facility in Michigan and a Farmland Foods facility in Iowa. And in September, they organized workers at Nebraska Prime. Those victories combined amount to an additional 4,600 workers being represented by the UFCW. This is what democracy looks like. Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, a one-hour radio documentary produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT. Get your copy today at laborradio.org. This newscast made possible in part by the United Mine Workers of America and by OPEIU, the Office and Professional Employees International Union. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Trupiano. And first shift, first shift, first shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back. My favorite way to wake up is as a Democrat, especially this morning. Let's listen to a little bit of audio real quick.
I want to thank the over 12,000 voters in this district, in this community, who are under a lot of pressure and still came out and said no. And while we came up a little bit short in this battle tonight, we're winning the overall war to reinvent Michigan. And the laws we made are better for Michigan citizens, not just the select few. And I know that fight's going to continue in Lansing tomorrow, and there's going to be a renewed resolve to continue moving Michigan down the right path. So this fight was always larger than just me, and I appreciate what everyone in this community has done to allow me to serve for 3 years.
All right, that is former Representative Paul Scott. Joining us now is President of the Michigan AFL-CIO. It's a good day to be a Democrat, Carla. Pleasure to have you on the show this morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you?
I'm feeling very good about a lot of what happened yesterday. Of course, we didn't get everything we wanted. We never will, Carla. But listen, whether you're a fan of democracy, which I know you are, a friend of labor, which obviously you are, or someone that cares about our neighbors, more specifically Ohio, it's a good day to be a Democrat.
It is. It's a great day. Yesterday was a fantastic day for Ohio voters who sent a wake-up call to the anti-worker politicians in Columbus by repealing SB 5, the anti-worker law that stripped collective bargaining rights for public employees. So we're very excited about that achievement, and it was a huge win. They won by 24 points. So it was a good day for working families, the middle class, and collective bargaining in the state of Ohio, and that's good for us in Michigan.
What do you think that this win means for us, though?
Well, I think it's sort of another warning shot. You know, there was the recall of the two legislators in Wisconsin a couple of months ago, and now this overwhelming victory in Ohio yesterday. And I think that it really is a warning shot to the Lansing politicians who are thinking about attacking and continuing to attack Michigan's teachers and firefighters and attacking other workers. And the message is pretty clear. It's there's going to be a price to pay for attacking workers instead of fighting for creating jobs in an environment where Michigan needs to work.
Well, let's talk for a moment about what kind of message this does send to Governor Snyder. We know his colleague in Wisconsin's not the happiest governor in the world. We know his colleague in Ohio is not a very happy man this morning, obviously. But, you know, we've got a governor that the Wall Street Journal, tagged as a different kind of Republican. I don't think he's all that different, Carla Swift, than maybe the Wall Street Journal does. What does this tell Governor Snyder this morning?
Well, I think that it's clear that there is not the kind of broad support for this agenda that is really driven by corporate special interests that the folks in Lansing have been pushing, the folks in Ohio, the folks in Wisconsin have been trying to push, and we see that in terms of the middle class and workers fighting back. We see it, we saw it here yesterday with the recall of Paul Scott up in the 51st District, who really, sort of led the charge for attacking teachers and schools and giving tax giveaways to corporations. So the voters are loud, are speaking loud and clear that the, the 99% is awake and they're ready to fight for what's best for them and their communities and their families, it's, the fight is on.
Well, Carla Swift, it's obvious, as the new president of the Michigan AFL, this was the first election where you were helpful in dispatching people to both Ohio, because I know that you were very helpful in getting some volunteers to Ohio, especially last weekend, and dispatching people into Genesee County to help with the Paul Scott recall campaign. As a first, you got to feel good about what you were able and your staff were able to accomplish yesterday.
Well, it's a huge victory for every Michigan voter in terms of the recall yesterday. It's almost been three decades since there's been a recall of a state legislator in Michigan, and it really is a victory for every Michigan voter who feels misled by the Republicans who have spent more time attacking workers than creating jobs. That just is not what voters sent them to Lansing to do.
Well, although the certainly the recall was close, I mean, there's no question it was close. We're not going to, try to paint it as something it wasn't. 232 vote differential there. It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, we need to remember that Paul Scott won by a 60% margin just a few months ago.
That's absolutely right. There's been a huge shift in the last 12 months in public sentiment and workers and middle class and everyday people's attitudes about what they are going to allow to go on. And what they're saying is enough is enough. Lansing needs to start working for us, and we're going to hold folks accountable. We're going to hold elected officials accountable until that gets done.
Well, Carla Swift, it's interesting because we do have a little momentum, and again, I said I'm not going to misrepresent anything, and that's not a misrepresentation. We do have some momentum moving forward. How do we now, Carla, kind of harness that a little bit, because we've got another year before we have another election? Not that there isn't work, a lot of work to do between now and November of 2012, and certainly we can continue to put the focus and our energy toward those members in the state house and the state senate that just aren't doing their job, mostly on the Republican side of the aisle. So what is next for labor? What do we do to make sure that this energy that we've collectively gathered over the last few days is something that we can take with us moving forward?
Well, we're going to continue to, as I said, hold elected officials accountable, and the way that we are doing that is through organizing and building at the grassroots level and making sure that voters in the districts where legislators are from who are making these bad decisions in Lansing, that voters in those districts know what's going on, and we're going to continue to build that base larger and larger. And it's, it's happening organically. It's happening at the grassroots level. That's what happened in the 51st District and Paul Scott's district. The voters weren't happy. They weren't satisfied, and they took it upon themselves to turn that thing around up there. We see it with the Occupy movement, that people are People are stepping up and they're saying, no, not at this time. We're not going to tolerate this any longer. So I think that is, it's the hard work of continually organizing, continually bringing more, people to the cause. And, you know, one of the, best ways that we have to do that in Michigan right now is through the efforts of, the We Are the People Coalition of workers and students and seniors who are acting, coalescing at the grassroots level in communities all around the state to attend coffee hours, to send do phone banks, to send messages to their legislators, to come up to Lansing and lobby, to lobby back in their home district, and to just keep the volume turned up in the legislators' ears about what we sent them to Lansing to do and what we are going to do in the way of holding them accountable.
Well, do you think that this election, again, a year out of our the presidential and congressional races and what will be state House and Senate races, do you believe that this election is a turning point for Democrats and for labor?
I think actually we're at the turning point. You mean election right now?
Yeah,
I do. I think we're at the turning point right now, as a matter of fact, not just in Michigan and Ohio, but I think we're at the turning point in this country, and we're about to tip, or we are tipping right now, maybe, that and people are saying politicians who attack working families and have had a free ride, that's not going to continue, that there are going to be clear consequences if politicians continue to go after working families, and we're going to continue to fight on and make sure that we don't let these attacks go unanswered, and we're going to make some wholesale changes in 2012 in the state house here in Michigan, to which the state senate isn't up in 2012, but the state house is, and that's where we'll be spending a lot of our grassroots organizing.
Well, there's no question. You know, and for those that aren't familiar with Carla Swift, you just came from the organizing We Are the People. Certainly, Zach Pohl, the communications director there, does a tremendous job of getting the word out and attracting good quality, especially young people, to the process, Carla. Something that I think that We Are the People should be very, very proud of. And I know that that's an organization that is still quite close to you, even though you've taken on the role as the president of the AFL-CIO.
It is. It's a great organization, and it's made up of such a diverse coalition of people that are coming from a broad spectrum of causes and of interest. There are people across the political spectrum that don't like what's going on right now. There's people from labor, people from the faith-based communities, people from the environmental communities, the social justice community.
Absolutely. Carla, we're just out of time, but I want to thank you so much. Congratulations. You know that you can count on us to help you fight the good fight moving forward.
Thank you, Tony. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Carla Swift, we'll be back. Occupy Detroit on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Over the last decade, we have spent $1 trillion on war at a time of rising debt and hard economic times. Now, we must invest in America's greatest resource, our people.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is therapist Leo Battenhausen, author of the brand new book, Defeating Depression, The Calm and Sense Way.
Well, first we have to realize a big part of our personality and our very being can be taken right from us at any given time, especially with a long-term career we've been in, or even a short-term career where we're providing food and housing for ourselves or our family. So a big piece of us goes into a shock phase when we are either laid off or become unemployed. But we have to remember that true happiness is not something that can ever be taken away from us if we have it within. So, we have to be careful with putting our happiness into our jobs or into our things, because anything can be taken away from us. But we have to understand, too, that it's an opportunity to rebuild ourselves. And most studies show that happiness can come from people who reinvent themselves and find themselves in a different career if their ability to stay in their long-term career is taken from them.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Truppiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Truppiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Truppiano. Now here's Tony.
And welcome back 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Now it's 7:50, and by now everybody knows what that means, which is kind of cool. In fact, we had a couple emails yesterday. Was listening at 7:50, so we've kind of branded 7:50 as Occupy Detroit. It's worked. I mean, we've been doing this for this our second week, but people know that 7:50 is Occupy Detroit, so let us go there. Joining us now is Destiny Turnbow. Destiny is part of the coalition that is helping the 99% be heard, and we want to welcome her this morning to First Shift. And good morning, Destiny. Thanks for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Hey, Destiny, tell us a little bit about your story. Why are you involved in the Occupy movement? What is it about being part of the 99% that got you engaged?
The part about the 99% that got me engaged is just the realization of the responsibility that everybody has as just human beings to help out their fellow brother. And when you see something that's going wrong and you see somebody that has a need, I think that it's our responsibility to help them. But I think in our society today, there's a fundamental flaw. People are not, it's not clicking in their head that they should be helping other people. So I really see the Occupy movement as an opportunity to encourage people to do that and to engage in community building, because we're trying to build a movement, and you can't have a movement unless everybody is on one accord and on the same page. So that's something I think that is really important.
I love the way that you put out this. Tell me a little bit about yourself, Destiny. Are you a student? Have you graduated? Are you working? What's going on in your world?
Yeah, I recently just graduated from Wheaton College in Chicago with a degree in international relations. And it's so funny because I was just talking to someone about this yesterday. I was, kicking myself in the butt when I graduated, because I'm like, this is not exactly what I wanted to do. I wanted to be in the community, helping out people and everything like that. But who would have guessed, six months later, I would be doing exactly that. So I just really love what I do. And earlier, you were actually talking to someone I work with, Paula Swift. I'm a field organizer also for We Are the People. So being down there, occupied, building those relationships is really something that's part of my job. And also just to become part of my lifestyle now, just being down there. So.
Yeah, I like that, part of your lifestyle. That's a really nice way to put it. This closes a nice circle. Let's talk about labor's relationship with the Occupy movement, if we could.
Labor has a very close relationship with the Occupy movement. I don't know, I'm sure a lot of your listeners probably were at the labor rally / march we had on Sunday, the Free Press reported that we had over 1,000 people out in attendance. It was really awesome. Labor just showed up and showed out. We had these tags that said, hello, my name is the 99%. Everybody was wearing those. They got a lot of donations in for Occupy Detroit. And there's also a big U-Haul truck that came in with a lot of donations of food and clothes to just really help to sustain the camp. And it was just really a great time of celebration, and it just showed just their full-fledged support for what the things that we're doing down there. So
absolutely. Well, I was told to ask you about an upcoming Occupy event, so I'm assuming you know what that's all about.
Yes. I am a part of one of the working groups called Occupy Yourself, and our mission and goal is to bring education and awareness to the community about just the issues, both locally, internationally, and globally, because we feel like there's a disconnect. A lot of people don't understand the connections that DTE shut off, the welfare possibly being shut off, and that FIP, FIA shut off have with the corporate greed and everything like that. So that's one of our missions as Occupy Yourself, is to connect that. And the second mission with our working group is to build community within the community of Occupy and just Detroit as a whole. So one of the big things that we are planning on right now, working on, is an event called Occupy Thanksgiving, and we are very excited about it. It's going to be a big Thanksgiving Day celebration. It's not on Thanksgiving, but we're gonna have a community dinner, a community fashion show, and karaoke right down at Grand Circus Park. We're in the midst of planning it right now, so we can use all the help possible. We're looking for donations of food. We're looking for karaoke. We want to possibly, we're looking into getting an actual company that does karaoke, possibly like at bars or clubs or something like that, to come out and donate some time at that. We're trying to get clothes donated from the Salvation Army. So a lot is coming together in a short period of time. It's actually, the event is scheduled to be next Sunday on November 20th at 4 p.m.
All right, that's a very cool idea. So, again, I know there's someone out there that's got the karaoke stuff going on. They can go out there on a Sunday afternoon. No one's going to be at a bar on a Sunday afternoon. Somebody get a hold of me. Oh, come on, Destiny. Someone's going to be available. There's somebody listening to the show right now that can do this. So, folks, my email address again, tony@thetonyshow.org. Send me your info. We'll get in touch with you. We'll connect you. This is an awesome idea. Occupy Thanksgiving. Again, you know, and this is going to just be in general, folks. You know, food, clothing, tents, wooden pallets. In fact, somebody sent my producer, Destiny, an email last night that, you know, said that they brought some pallets down on Sunday. Which is wonderful. The audience has been great for the Occupy movement. They've donated a lot of stuff, so I'm really thrilled about that. Destiny, we got somebody calling in, wants to say hello, so let us go to the phones and welcome Charles in Detroit. Charles, welcome to First Shift. You're on the air with Destiny.
Thank you. Occupy Detroit. I was there at the meeting with Alyssa yesterday at Occupy Yourself, and she's doing a great job with the organizing that Occupy Thanksgiving. It's going to be great.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're just really hoping to get a lot of donations in, too.
The whole occupation is just really going strong. There's today there's a march on in support of students at Wayne State. But
all right. Well, Charles, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. So, again, Destiny, give us a list of donated items you need, and then we got to get ready to get out of here for this hour.
Like I said, the karaoke thing is really big. Another big, big part is actually, like, food. We want to get donated cooked food. We don't want to have a lot of pressure on the kitchen to cook anything, because they're working, like, they're bending, breaking their backs. They don't have enough help. But we would like to have, like, if families could pitch together to actually bring in an entire meal. That is something that we're suggesting, but if you can't, if you can bring a turkey, you can bring some, you know, just Thanksgiving type food would be awesome.
All right. Cooked, though. This is great. This is great. All right. All right. I'm gonna make sure that we get this on the Facebook page, on the website, and I'm really gonna push. Look forward to having you on again sometime.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
And my pleasure. Destiny Turnbull, once again. Occupy Thanksgiving, folks. I know there's got to be somebody out there that can do the karaoke for this. I know it for sure. So get in touch with me, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And any of the other stuff that you can provide, cooked dinners, and clothing, tents, blankets, hats, gloves, scarves, any of that stuff, let me know. In fact, I had a woman in Macomb County said that she's available to help pick stuff up. She's back from out of town. Pat's just amazing. All right, we got to take a break here. Diane Cross coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Truppiano. When we continue, Stephen Henderson from the Free Press. We'll be back. Stay with us.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Our total traffic update, Tony, includes big delays, 75 northbound, a 14-mile road, an accident, 75 south at 9 mile, adding to big delays back to Rochester Road, I-96 westbound at Middle Belt, that accident causing big slowdowns, 275 north near 9 mile. We're backed up all the way from about Michigan Avenue on northbound 275.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, we are going to see rain all day today. Our high, though, 66. Tonight, look for some slight showers, a low near 37. Tomorrow, we do have a chance of rain and lower temps, though. Our high, only 46 degrees. Right now, we have light rain, 56 at Metro Airport. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Truppiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW,
Dearborn, Detroit.
Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Leading news this hour, presidential candidate Herman Cain continues to deny all sexual harassment allegations against him. Another woman has come forward, CNN's Joe Johns reports.
Karen Crosshair said she is considering releasing details of her claim that she kept copies. She says she received a $46,000 settlement from her sexual harassment claim.
A ninth accuser has come forward to claim being sexually abused by former Penn State assistant football coach Jerry Sandusky. CNN's Jason Carroll reports that much of the attention now focuses on head coach Joe Paterno and whether he reacted appropriately to the initial allegation.
A lot of his critics here, not just folks here at the school, but alumni and other people in the community saying Joe Paterno may have done what he should have done legally, but morally he didn't do enough. There have been many calls for his resignation.
A constitutional amendment to define life as beginning at conception failed in Mississippi. It would have outlawed virtually all abortions in the state. Amendment supporter Les Riley says they don't regret the push for an amendment.
We're not conceding because we did our duty. We have obeyed God.
Projections show Ohio voters repealing a law limiting the collective bargaining rights of public workers. It means workers such as police, teachers, and firefighters will keep their bargaining rights to salaries, workplace conditions, and hours. If you think this deal is bad, wait until tonight. That's essentially what NBA owners are telling the league's players as the two sides continue trying to hammer out a labor deal. NBA players have until 5 this afternoon to accept an offer from NBA owners on a revenue split, or the next deal that's offered will be much worse. Billy Hunter's executive director of the NBA Players Union. He says the players won't accept just any deal.
As much as they want to play basketball, they're still of the mindset that they're not going to accept a bad deal. And that's the message that we have to send, I guess, to the other side.
The NBA season's canceled at least through the end of this month. This is CNN Radio.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe. Talk about the big tire event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you feeling?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the big tire event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy 4 select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a big tire event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Hey guys, Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
General Motors made money. It's a statement unheard of a couple of years ago, and some wondered if we would ever hear it again. But this morning, GM is reporting a profit of $1.7 billion for the July through September quarter. That's down from the $2 billion profit last year, but better than expected as sales increased 8%. After months of inviting other companies to purchase minority stakes in Yahoo, the company is drawing some unwanted attention. Reports say Alibaba Corporation of China and SoftBank of Japan are courting private equity funds to make a combined bid to buy out Yahoo. Italy's parliament is set to vote on austerity measures. That is one condition of the resignation of Prime Minister Berlusconi. But once higher European markets have fallen, now down as much as 2% on concerns Italy's debt keeps rising. And once U.S. stock futures have crumbled, S&P futures down 30 points, NASDAQ futures down 47. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
If insurance was sold in the grocery store, it'd be easier to compare. Sydney here is in the market for car insurance.
That's right.
So what do you think of these brands? State Farm, Geico, Progressive, and Allstate.
Honestly, they're all pretty much the same to me.
Well, they all give safe drivers a discount, but look at the Allstate shelf.
What's that? A coupon?
Even better. It's a check. Only Allstate rewards safe drivers with an extra bonus every 6 months you're accident-free.
Nice.
Call Allstate today, and you'll also get a lifetime membership in Good Hands Roadside Assistance absolutely free. Get 24-7 access and low flat rates on everything from tows to tire changes. For your free membership kit, just call a local agent for 888-ALLSTATE today.
Shop less, get more. Make one call to an Allstate agent.
Bonus check not available in every state. Feature is optional. Subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and their affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
Hey, it's Mike Rowe talking about the Big Tire Event with Fiona, who works at a Ford dealership. How are you feeling?
I'm good, thank you.
What makes the Big Tire Event big?
Everything.
Selection?
Big.
Rebates?
Big.
Savings?
Big.
It's big all around.
All around, it's big.
It's so large, in fact, that the announcer should take it from here.
Buy four select tires, get a $100 rebate, and that's on top of the low-price tire guarantee.
All right, well, there it is. It's a Big Tire Event, and everything about it is
big. Competitors add required for tire guarantee. Stop by any participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for rebate details through 11/30/11.
Hey guys, Macy's Veterans Day sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. That question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
All right, welcome back. It has been one busy day. Gosh, I don't even know where to start. I got to tell you that, first of all, in Radford, this is going to blow your mind. Guess what just came in my email? Take a guess.
Take a guess. Audio of you singing.
No, I got somebody that's willing to do the karaoke for the Occupy Thanksgiving.
That quickly?
That quickly.
Wow.
So we got that covered. This audience has been amazing. Just amazing to the Occupy movement. So yeah, we've got somebody. So I'll go.
I think it's pretty good that you're not like trying to test the power of the show. the Occupy movement needs and then you just throw something really random out there, almost like a scavenger hunt, just to see if someone could come up with it.
No, I don't want to do that because that kind of takes the honesty away from what we're doing. But
I mean, that's what I said. I'm glad to see that you're not using your powers for evil.
No, listen, we got a plumber for them. you know, that came from the show. I think we found them some office space. That came from the show. We've gotten them a bunch of food and pallets and clothes and now karaoke. I just think it's cool. All right, let's get going. We got a lot to do in this hour, and we're going to get going. So let's just go on. Give me my intro, and let's rock.
Joining us now, editor of the Detroit Free Press, Stephen Henderson.
And he is joining us now. Like I said, we've had a very busy morning. Of course, Election Day yesterday. Stephen Henderson, I'm sure. I know he had a very late night because he didn't email me until well after 1 o'clock in the morning. And so, Stephen, I appreciate you getting up so early with us this morning and talking a little state politics. And certainly an interesting day around the state. Obviously, as a Democrat, I'm feeling good about what we've seen. But let's just focus a little bit on Genesee County. Now former state representative Paul Scott, although gave a very nice conciliatory speech and says Michigan still wins even though he loses, I think it really sends an important message to those that worked on that campaign and outside of that campaign. You know, maybe there are some people that are angry enough to actually step up and do something about it.
Well, I think there's no question that the organized labor is feeling boxed in by the Snyder administration and legislature that we've had since January, and feeling like they've got to do something to sort of fight back and assert their voice. They doubled down really hard on this race and made an example of it, and in the end they won. And this is a big win. The governor was personally involved in trying to first of all derail this recall. I mean, he filed a petition with the court with Attorney General Bill Schuette to try to get it moved off of yesterday and into February when you'd have far more Republican voters. And the governor was planning a couple weeks ago to go to this district and go door to door to ask people not to toss Representative Scott out of office. So I mean, he had a lot of political capital in this too, and so it's a big win for the other side. I mean, it's a big win for labor. It's a big win for Democrats at a time in this state when there aren't a lot of big Democratic wins.
Well, let's talk for a minute. We're going to spend some considerable time on this because there is some political offshoot, and this didn't just happen yesterday. But as you know, Governor Snyder yesterday sent out what a lot of people are going to call a political cannon shot by declaring that Flint needs an emergency manager. Some are saying that this is an absolute reflection on the MEA and labor's involvement in the Paul Scott race. Your thoughts on that, Stephen?
You know, I tend not to think that Governor Snyder, who I've gotten to know pretty well, you know, since he decided to run for the office and has been governor, that doesn't strike me as the way he operates. I mean, he's not apolitical, obviously, but he's not somebody who leads with the political instinct. I mean, he's much more about business sense. He's much more about sort of creating kinds of he prefers to create cooperative relationships over sort of antagonistic ones. And so I would be shocked if that were the motivation. I mean, I think it's a surprise. I'm not sure why. You know, I'm not sure who told them that it was a good idea to announce that yesterday in the middle of a political environment like that, because that would be the obvious conclusion people would draw. But I would hesitate to ascribe that kind of motive to him.
All right, but Stephen, let's just take that, Gary, just a little bit further since you bring that up. I hadn't even thought of that beforehand, but you're right. He actually drops this in the middle of Election Day. Scott loses by 232 votes. Don't tell me that some of those votes didn't happen because of that announcement.
They might have. They might have. You know, I mean, I think people are, again, I mean, you've got this, you've had in this state for the last, 11 months now, a very aggressive effort by the Republicans in Lansing to sort of, they've been taking pounds and pounds of flesh from the unions. And, some of the things that they've talked about, I think, were things that need to be done. Some of them looked a little more like, revenge, and political sort of attacks. I don't have any doubt at all that and the whole sort of backdrop of this, and then the governor announced what he did yesterday in the middle of an election day. That motivates people, and organized labor is not an insignificant voice in the state. It's still a very big part of Michigan, and they have a lot of members, they have a lot of money, and they have a lot of political machinery to be able to try to get back at some folks. And Paul Scott's the victim today. I don't think he's going to be the last. I think you're going to see a backlash to some of what's been done, and this is the beginning of it.
Well, and certainly as we take a look at, and I don't necessarily consider local city council races or school board races, even mayoral races, as being partisan in the way that people might think they are. If a Democrat won in Allen Park, a Democrat was going to win in Allen Park, okay? It was just which Democrat.
Right.
So that's not the issue. But as we take a look at, something that is influenced by politics, and that's millages. Most of the time, Stephen, millages are very much about conservative versus a more progressive community. And there were communities that didn't pass the millages, but by and large, millages passed in almost every community in which they were offered up. And headline overrides are usually a fight. I'm looking at the scroll all morning long on Channel 7, and most of these millages that passed in a big way, and the ones that didn't were not soundly defeated.
No, that's right. I mean, that surprised me yesterday, the millages, because, you do hear a lot from people about their tax burden. People feel like they're overtaxed. There's a reason that the Tea Party is as popular as it is. And that's one of their central messages. But yesterday, what you saw people do, I think, was say, listen, our services are in tatters all over the state. I live in Detroit where, services are exhibit A for like awful. But people all over Michigan are dealing with services that are nothing like what they're used to. They're nothing like what they were 5 or 10 years ago. And I think people are starting to make the connection in some ways that's about money. We don't pay enough for services, or a better way to put it is, if you want good services, you've got to pay for them. It's not free, and it's not necessarily cheap. And so I was surprised yesterday at the number of communities that said, these millages were for very specific things that they obviously value more than they value a low tax bill. And I think that's a real lift for the Democratic message, right? Which is saying that low taxes are not an end unto themselves. That's not a reasonable policy to pursue. Yes, everyone would like to pay fewer taxes, but the truth is, if you want services, you have to pay for them. So it's a big deal that as many people yesterday went out and did that.
Well, we've got to take a break. When we come back, I just want to focus for if we can for a few minutes on the Quinnipiac poll that showed that people were willing to pay more in taxes. Of course, at the time that poll came out, we were talking about the debt ceiling debate. I think that this is proof positive that just wasn't talk, that people actually put their money where their votes were.
Right.
So we'll come back and talk about that. We also want to talk about the charter, and I want to get Stephen's reaction to Mayor Bing's throw down to unions yesterday. It's you or we're done. I'm sure he's got a thought or two about that. Let's take a quick break here. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be right back.
$1 trillion and thousands of U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Iraq. It's $1 billion and no U.S. lives to topple a dictator in Libya. That's a pretty stark contrast.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update's been very, very slow. Northbound 275, an earlier accident near 9 Mile. We've been slow from about Michigan Avenue. Also slow on 96, trying to get onto northbound 275. Coming off of 96, eastbound, heavy traffic in toward Wixom and Novi. Some Gawker delay on the southbound side of 275. Things have been very slow on I-75, Oakland County, trying to get near the 696 interchange. Northbound, an accident near 14 Mile Road. A southbound, an earlier problem near 9 Mile, adding to those big delays. 96 west at Middlebelt. That earlier accident trying to clear from the shoulder.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high near 66. Tonight we're going to have showers, a low near 37. Tomorrow possibly some rain, but our high is only going to be 46 degrees. Last check at Metro Airport, still some light rain and 56 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Chapstick asks, do you use Chapstick Lip Shield 365 in sand or snow?
Hi, I'm Sandy Sanderson, and I just love the sand. Quicksand, ampersands, sandalwood scented candles. And I wear Chapstick Lip Shield 365 to keep my lips protected from the sun year-round. My boyfriend here also wears it.
Yeah, I'm Sleety McNipperson, and I like snow. Snow tires, snow peas, snow leopards, snow
crabs.
Are
you sand or snow? Either way, new Chapstick Lip Shield 365 with SPF 50 has you covered. And have your say at facebook.com/chapstick.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hey, guys. Macy's Veterans Day Sale is the way to build your wardrobe. With 50% savings on the season's best outerwear, sweaters, woven tops, and more. 50% off designers like Tommy Hilfiger, Kenneth Cole Reaction, and Calvin Klein. And it gets even better with an extra 15 or 10% off when you use your Macy's card or savings pass. It's the way to save right now in the men's store at Macy's. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
And 22 minutes after the hour, Stephen Henderson again with us. He is the editorial page editor of the Detroit Free Press and the host of American Black Journal, seen on PBS Sundays at 2 o'clock. Stephen, thanks for hanging with us through the break. Again, taxes. The Quinnipiac poll, you know, definitively showed, I mean, it was a large number. It was like 73% of people said that they would be willing to pay more in taxes. Certainly that's reflected in yesterday's election where, you know, people understand, and you said it, the services are tattered. I think that's the perfect word for it because they are tattered. Even, I live in Dearborn Heights. We had a Headley override on the ballot. It passed, handily passed. You know, we haven't had anybody sweep our streets in a while. That stuff shows after a while, Stephen.
Right. I mean, at some point it becomes a question of what are you willing to what are you willing to put up with, and what are you, how are you willing to live? I mean, this is a state that, that for decades had, you know, first class, you know, A-level services in every way. I mean, our roads, our schools, you know, the infrastructure that, that we have, you know, beneath the streets and stuff like that. And we just have not kept pace, in terms of funding that in the last, 10 or 15 years. And so I think people are starting to reach that point where you're just not willing to live like that. You know, people don't want to see 40 kids in a classroom. People don't want to see, you know, streets that don't get fixed. And so, or garbage pickup that drops to, you know, once every 10 days or something. So at some point there's, you know, there's always a breaking point. Of course, everybody would like to pay less in taxes. I mean, that's sort of a non sequitur to sort of say that people wouldn't, but there's always a competing value there, which is, you know, yeah, I would like to pay lower taxes, but I'm not willing to put up with, you know, the crappy services that I would have if I'm not going to pay enough taxes to support those services. And so that Quinnipiac poll is a good example of that. But yesterday in Michigan was also a good example of that, because people went out and they said, well, you know, it's a couple more dollars on my annual tax bill, and a couple hundred dollars in some cases. I'm willing to do that.
Well, let's very briefly talk about what kind of message that sends to the Republicans, you know, that are, again, are, you know, lower taxes, lower taxes, lower taxes. Does that change the message? And I want to make sure we get the charter conversation in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it challenges the Republicans to broaden, you know, their anti-tax message into a more sort of complete policy statement. It's not that people don't want lower taxes, but you've got to sort of understand that people also want things to work. And on the national level, you know, this debate is playing out right now in the super committee where, in Congress, where Republicans have dug their heels in and said, no taxes, no taxes, no taxes. Well, if that means that you got to kick seniors, you know, off of their medical coverage, or, you know, these other drastic things, I don't think people support that. And so the challenge to the Republicans is to come up with something beyond no more taxes, which really has just become their sort of repetitive mantra, and it never gets more sophisticated than that. This is a message to them that voters aren't going to buy it beyond a certain point.
All right, let's go to the phones real quick, and then we'll talk a little bit about the charter. Let's welcome Mark in Birmingham to First Shift. Mark, you're on the air with Stephen Henderson.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. You know, I think, you know, you're missing the point. The reason that our so-called infrastructure is crumbling is we no longer trust the government to provide these services, from Solyndra to, you know, all of the corruption at the government level. And
Mark, I don't mean to be rude, but there's absolutely no connection between Solyndra and the way my roads drive. None at all.
Sure it is.
No, Mark, there is. No, Mark.
Government waste and inefficiency and crony capitalism. This is everything that you guys on the left are protesting at this, at Occupy Wall Street. This is not capitalism. This is crony socialism run amok.
Okay, well, I appreciate it, Mark. I appreciate it. You're just never going to agree that where you're going is where this conversation was. At least I don't think so, Stephen.
Well, I mean, I do think that we have to have a very serious conversation, not just in Detroit or Michigan, but in the country, about waste. I mean, that kind of, I hear a lot of that kind of sentiment, in emails and phone calls, and people do feel like government is not working efficiently. But what's the answer to that, right? The answer to that is not to defund government by lowering taxes to a level where they can't provide services. The answer is to make government more efficient, hold government officials more accountable, you know, eliminate the waste and things that steal money from public coffers. And
about the charter passing yesterday, and it wasn't even close, Stephen.
No, it wasn't
close.
Close. It wasn't close, and it's a big step for Detroit, right? There were tremendous strides forward in that charter in terms of the structure of government. And, you know, speaking of waste and corruption, that's a lot of what this charter focuses on is eliminating the opportunities for public officials to misbehave and misspend taxpayer dollars. I mean, there was a lot of odd late opposition to this charter from city council members, from former mayoral candidates, and I was worried, in fact, that would have a real effect on the outcome. But it looks like it didn't.
No, it didn't. Yeah, and interestingly, you know, we took a lot of calls on the charter. We had a lot of calls, Stephen. I mean, a lot. And only one person that ever called the show supported the charter. One.
All right. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. One. So you wonder, did those that were against it not vote?
There was some of that. The other thing that's true is that, you know, Detroit has a heavy absentee voter base, mostly seniors. And those votes come in early. And a lot of the opposition to this didn't get organized, didn't get very vocal until the end. And I think some of those votes were already cast at that point. Now, I don't think it was a majority because you're talking about a 57% win for the thing overall. So I think it probably won at the polls yesterday too. But there was this opposition that cropped up. I think was not effective in part because it didn't reach enough of those absentee voters.
Well, it was.
I heard the same thing that you did. Lots of people calling saying, you know, I don't want to do this, or I'm against this specific part of the charter. I mean, there was a lot of sort of fear mongering that was going on.
Yeah, it really blew my mind. And all of a sudden, I wake up this morning, and that's the first thing that I saw. And I went, well, just goes to show you how much I can count on this audience to set me straight. Anyway, Stephen, thank you so much. We'll look forward to next Wednesday. In the meantime, have a great week.
Yes, you too.
All right, Stephen Henderson with the Detroit Free Press and host of American Black Journal. A quick break here. Congressman Gary Peters on the other side. We'll take the break, and First Shift will continue on 1310 WDTW.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update has included wet roadways all morning, and that's been a big problem. Northbound 275, an earlier accident near 9 Mile. We've had pockets of slow traffic back to 96 M14, also back toward about Michigan Avenue for those heading northbound. And then southbound, we've had Gawker delays, and then also that traffic coming off of 96 running into those slowdowns. 75 southbound has been very slow, an earlier problem. 75 south near 9 Mile, that just started the domino effect, which we have every morning anyway, back toward Rochester Road. Northbound 75, the earlier problem near 14 Mile Road that also has made the northbound side pretty slow going.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, look for rain throughout the day. Our high near 66. Tonight we're going to have showers, a low near 37. Tomorrow possibly some rain, but our high is only going to be 46 degrees. Last check at Metro Airport, still some light rain and 56 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
USA, we're number one. Oh, wait, Iceland is number one. But we did beat out Poland and Slovakia, right? No. But going down the rankings, and there we are, number 27, fifth from the bottom. So our new national chant is USA, at least we're not last. a foundation in Germany, has analyzed the social justice records of all 31 members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, ranking each nation in such categories as health care, income inequality, preschool education, and child poverty rate. The overall performance by the U.S., which boasts of being an egalitarian society, outranks only Greece, Chile, Mexico, and Turkey. Actually, even three of those countries performed better than ours in the education of preschoolers, and Greece did better than the U.S. on the prevention of poverty. Being at the bottom of the heap in social justice confirms the reality of both economic and political inequality that the Occupy Wall Street movement is protesting. It also helps explain why Occupy's grassroots uprising in America has spread so rapidly to more than 600 communities and has generated such broad public support. After all, our nation is fabulously rich, ranking well ahead of nearly all OECD members in national wealth, so there's no excuse for us sitting at the bottom of the list in education, health care, poverty, and other measures of a democratic and egalitarian society. This is Jim Hightower saying, bluntly put, we the people have let today's elites abandon America's founding principles of fairness, justice, and equal opportunity for all. These privileged few have purchased our government, stolen the wealth and economic future of working families, and reduced America to a plastic imitation of the country we thought we had. The Occupy Rebellion is overdue. Join it. To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I do have Congressman Gary Peters on the line with us, and I'm going to get to him in just a second. I just received notice for the group that is going to be joining us, the UAW Local 174. They have more space on the bus, or they got more buses, one or the other. Anyway, if you show up at Local 174 at 4 o'clock, I can promise you a ride there. All right, I'll be there with those folks. I also have some radio duties to do while we're at Oakland University today, but we're certainly going to be there en masse to make sure, especially we let former Governor Mitt Romney know that he's no son of ours. And Congressman Gary Peters, I want to welcome you back to First Shift. Talk a little bit about the debate. How are you doing, my friend? Guys, we have the Congressman. There we go. Hi, Congressman. How are you?
I'm well. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Let's talk a little bit about this quote-unquote debate tonight. We've really got a little bit of a mess here, don't we?
We do. Certainly, when we're looking at the debate, I certainly want to hear some answers to questions, and in particular, dealing with the auto industry. You know, everybody on that stage has said that it was wrong for what the president did, which was to step in and help the auto industry get back on its feet and survive. The president took an awful lot of heat, as you know, and he did that because he believed that by standing with the American worker that we would be successful. And certainly that rescue package for the auto industry, which is, in my mind, was a victim of what happened on Wall Street. And when you have unbridled greed on Wall Street that brought our country to its knees, we could have lost a key manufacturing component of this country, which is the auto industry. In fact, I don't believe you could even have really any kind of manufacturing industry here in the United States if you don't have a vibrant domestic auto industry. So it was critical to do, and not only was it critical to do, it's been a great success, and Republicans on that stage were naysayers from day one and continue to think that it was the wrong thing. And you know, I think it's going to be interesting having them here in Michigan, the very heart of the auto industry, to try to explain their positions, because I think they'll have difficulty doing that. And hopefully the American people will see through that.
Well, they'll literally be able to see from the parking lot the world headquarters of Chrysler. I Mitt Romney's advice, which was let him go bankrupt.
Absolutely. In fact, I remember very vividly an experience that I had as a new member of Congress in 2009 in the midst of what was happening when I got sworn into office, where this country was losing 800,000 jobs a month. We were hemorrhaging jobs. The economy was spinning down. I was in that headquarters, the Chrysler headquarters, which is actually the second largest building next to the Pentagon in the country. And sitting in that building with Mr. Nardelli, who was the CEO, and he said in no uncertain terms, if we don't have government assistance to get us through this reorganization, that he was going to have to liquidate the company. There was simply no way for him to get the resources he needed because Wall Street was frozen, the capital markets, all that was in complete disarray. That he would have to liquidate the company. And as I looked around that room, people's faces just turned white as they saw that their careers disappearing and really those tens of thousands of families that would have been in a terrible situation had that happened. And I kept thinking, you know, here I am in this large building and I could just have these visions of grass growing in the parking lot and how tragic that would be. But the president stepped up and my colleagues in the Democratic coalition in Congress stepped up to make sure that they got those resources. And now we can fast forward as you are standing there looking at the Chrysler headquarters. Chrysler is now in a situation where they need additional real estate because they're hiring another 1,000 engineers. They can't put all those people in that very large building. That, to me, is an incredible success story. We were looking over the cliff into the abyss. And now we're adding jobs and growing an industry that's critical, not just for Michigan, but for the entire country.
Well, Congressman Peters, there's no question everything you've said is definitively true. And I shudder at the thought. I mean, you know, there are so many different ways we could take a look at this from a legacy standpoint. But let's keep it simple. My neighbors, the very people that you and I live next door to, would not either be here today or have that job or would be in foreclosure on top of the way we've already been burdened in Southeast Michigan. The thought that somebody can run for the presidency of this country and then come into the state that literally defines what manufacturing means with some kind of bravado that, you know, their plan would have been better somehow. I just don't understand how they can look anybody in the eye while they're here today with any kind of sincerity.
I agree, Tony. And you know what it shows is that they've got this this adherence to this rigid ideology. They don't want to let facts get in the way of their ideology. And the facts, I think, are very, very clear. This is about practical problem solving for a crisis that we were facing. And I think, you know, the point that you make is very important, is that as we're talking about jobs at Chrysler or at General Motors, it's not just the jobs of those companies. It's all of the auto suppliers and all of the indirect jobs that those folks spend their money, whether it's restaurants or hair salons or your grocery stores. You know, all across the board, it would have just been devastating for the Michigan economy. But more importantly, going forward, and I think, you know, we've got to focus on that, is that we've got to have manufacturing policy in this country. We've got to be focused on manufacturing. Those are good-paying jobs. Those are critical to the American middle class. The one thing that I'm focused on is the fact that the American middle class has been under assault over the last three decades. The American middle class has been stagnant, while most of the wealth in this country has been concentrated at the very top. You can't have a vibrant democracy in that kind of environment. You certainly can't have a strong economy. Middle-class workers need to have money that they can spend in the economy, and that's how you have a stronger economy. It's when we have fair distribution of the benefits of this economy.
Well, one of the things that we just had Stephen Henderson on from the Detroit Free Press, Congressman Peters, and we were talking about all these millages that passed all over the state of Michigan yesterday, and certainly in Southeast Michigan, the vast majority of them passed because people have said, I'm willing to pay more taxes if I get something of value in return. Will the Republicans please pay attention to what happened in Michigan yesterday?
They need to, and that's the services that are so important, that are critical for an economy. People need, and we know we need good quality schools. You need to have roads. You've got to have that kind of infrastructure in place. And that's why I am so frustrated in Congress and will continue to fight the Republicans to get a jobs bill. What folks need now are jobs. You've got a Republican majority in the House that refuse to put forward a jobs bill that will improve our schools, put people back to work, make sure we've got roads and bridges that are not crumbling. Those are the kind of investments that the American people understand we need to make, that in order to grow a country, for a country to prosper, it requires investments in the future. You just can't cut your way to prosperity. You need to invest.
Congressman Gary Peters, again, my guest. Before I let you go, just for, if you would, 60 seconds, I want to thank you for the EAT Act, or the Eliminate the Auto Test Act. I also want to thank you for stepping up and sending Governor Snyder a letter that said that we harm children by asset testing using needed vehicles to decide whether or not somebody needs food assistance. Thank you so much for your leadership in that area.
Well, I appreciate that. I mean, I just thought that that was unbelievable that you had a situation where people were going to have be forced to choose between an automobile and food. And given our public transit systems here that are woefully inadequate for most people in this area, you need a car in order to get to a job. You need a car to get your child to a doctor. It's just an essential thing. And then to force people to sell their automobiles in order for them to get food assistance when people are down and are struggling made no sense whatsoever. So we fought that hard, and luckily the governor came at least partway and has loosened up that rule somewhat to make sure that people are not faced with that intolerable choice between food and an automobile necessary for them to get to their job.
No question. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. I'm sorry about the snafu a little earlier, but we got you on. That's the important thing. God bless you, and we'll look forward to seeing you soon.
All right, it's always a privilege to be on your show. Thank you.
All right,
so
thank you. Congressman Gary Peters once again. And I do appreciate his time very, very much. By the way, I want to clear something up very quickly. Somebody had posted, and I don't know who it was, posted to the Facebook page last week that he signed a letter that he agreed to cut to Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security. He did not. In fact, Congressman John Conyers proposed legislation last year that Gary Peters was a co-sponsor on that would have preserved Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security funding at their current levels. And so I wanted to correct that real quick, because I did reach out to the congressman's office after somebody had posted that, and it just wasn't accurate information, which is fine. But I just wanted to throw that out there real quickly. So if you want to go out to the debate tonight, again, UAW Local 174, you can Google them at this point. Find the address. They do have more buses, so they have more space. If you'd like to go, that's a way to get out there. I will be going separately only because I have to do a little stuff for the show while I'm there, and I need to leave a little bit early so that I can process the audio that I capture this afternoon and evening from the event. But I will be there to protest. I will be with my brothers and sisters from UAW Local 174 to make sure that the quote-unquote welcome wagon is well represented. By the way, I do want to comment, and I want to thank so many of you that showed up last week at Penna's of Sterling to welcome Governor Snyder to that fundraiser last Thursday. There was a massive, massive group of protesters. And trust me, the Republicans inside were a little bit scared. I assure you, that building was surrounded by Democrats everywhere you looked. It was an awesome spectacle. So I want to thank everybody that showed up last Thursday to that. All right, a quick break here. Well, we open lines on their side. Got some stuff that we can clean up, but feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. And I have a special message. If you're in foreclosure, I may just be able to help you. And we'll get to that on the other side. Tony Trupiano with you. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. We'll be back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the home page. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me is Professor Gordon Lafer.
One of the problems with one of the versions of Right to Work that somebody is talking about introducing in Michigan, which would be aimed strictly at teachers and the school system. There has never been a Right to Work law like that because it makes no economic sense. You're not going to attract companies into out of state by attacking teachers. But what you will do is put Michigan at a competitive disadvantage in recruiting and retaining the highest quality teachers. If you say, well, we're going to cut down, you know, union bargaining power and wages and benefits for Michigan teachers, any teacher who has a choice who's deciding are they going to go to Michigan or a neighboring state is going to have an incentive to go elsewhere. So at a time when the state is trying to have a strong education system, I mean, both for all kinds of reasons, including being able to compete for these higher skilled jobs, to put in a law that says we're going to undermine the quality of teachers we can attract seems backwards economically.
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Tribbiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up? Diggity doll.
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Tribbiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Tribbiano on Twitter.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Tribbiano.
We're back. 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter at Tony Tribbiano. All right, so here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you are in foreclosure and you would like a little help, somebody to help stand up for you, and you got a traditional mortgage through the bank, and it's getting ugly for you, send me an email. There's a group I'm working with that wants to help you, and I've got to keep it a little bit on the down low, so this is going to stay anonymous just between us right now. Of course, I'm going to pass your information along to them, but if you are in foreclosure and you want some help, you are not alone. So send me an email, tony@thetonyshow.org, tony@thetonyshow.org, and I may just be able to get you some help. All right? I got to be a little careful because there's just so much I can tell you, but you can trust me. That's all I can say is you can trust me. And I'm going to keep on asking until they tell me, no, we've got what we need. But if you are in foreclosure, you got a traditional mortgage, you're in foreclosure, you need some help, you need some assistance, let me know. And we're going to see if we can help you out. Tony@thetonyshow.org. Again, there is some... Be there at 4 o'clock, and you will safely have a ride to the debate. It's that simple. It is that simple. You can't make it any easier than that. And, again, it's a good day to be a Democrat. I'm so happy and thrilled with what happened with the elections yesterday. And then, in the middle of all this, you know, yesterday I went and voted, which I just dig. I dig in a big way. I love voting. You know, for those of you that don't vote, you just don't get it, and I'm okay with that. I love voting. I do. And there wasn't a lot on my ballot. We voted for a couple people in city council, city clerk, and then we had the Headley override. That's all that we had on our ballot. So it took literally, I don't know, 23.4 seconds to vote yesterday. There wasn't a big line, nothing like that. I got there noonish, and I was voter number 56, which is better than the last time I went during the primary when I went at 6 p.m. and I was voter number 12. But anyway, in the middle of all this, I got a story that really just freaking turned me on. The appeals court upholds health care law is the headline. Here's the story. A conservative-leaning appeals court panel today upheld the constitutionality of President Barack Obama's health care law. That's right. As the Supreme Court prepares to consider this week whether to resolve conflicting rulings over the law's requirement that all Americans buy health care insurance, a panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia issued a split opinion upholding the lower court's ruling that found Congress did not overstep its authority in requiring people to have insurance to pay or pay a penalty on their taxes, beginning in 2014. The requirement is the most controversial requirement of Obama's signature domestic legislative achievement and the focus of conflicting opinions from judges across the country. The Supreme Court could decide as early as this Thursday, which is tomorrow, during a closed meeting of the justices, whether to accept appeals for some of those earlier rulings. The suit in Washington was brought by the American Center for Law and Justice, a legal group founded by evangelist Pat Robertson. It claimed that the insurance mandate is unconstitutional because it forces Americans to buy a product for the rest of their lives and that it violates the religious freedom of those who choose not to have any insurance because they rely on God to protect them. But the court ruled that Congress had the power to pass the requirement to ensure that all Americans can have health care coverage, even if it infringes on individual liberty. So I felt very good about that. Judge Brett Kavanaugh, former aide to President George W. Bush, who appointed him to the bench, disagreed with the conclusion without taking a position on the merits of the law. He wrote a lengthy opinion arguing the court doesn't have jurisdiction to review the health care mandate until it takes effect in 2014. The Federal Court of Appeals in Cincinnati also upheld the law. The Federal Appeals Court in Atlanta struck down the core requirement that Americans buy health insurance or pay a penalty while upholding the rest of the law. And like Kavanaugh, dissenting's opinion, an appeals court in Richmond, Virginia, ruled it was premature to decide the law's constitutionality. Well, this lower court ruling, or this court ruling, supersedes that. So that was ultimately good news and got a great reaction to that. And want to circle back around here very quickly. All right, so here's the deal. Governor Snyder is trying to get back at labor for the going after Paul Scott to begin with. Now they, of course, have labor and democracy has ruled, and more specifically the Michigan Education Association, in recalling Paul Scott. So Governor Snyder has decided to declare Flint in a financial emergency. And it was kind of crazy that he did it the way he did it, because he may have cost Paul Scott his race. Now, the declaration does not mean an emergency manager for the city will be announced immediately under Public Act 4, which may be overturned any day now, or slowed any day now, or stopped any day now, as they get ready to file signatures quite soon. Flint officials have 7 days to request a hearing on the finding, and then if it does not request a hearing, it has 10 days to appeal the finding to the Ingham Circuit Court. Flint was under the management of an emergency manager fewer than 10 years ago. Presuming that Mr. Snyder does not or does name an emergency manager for the city, it would make it the largest community in the state with an emergency manager. As we all know, Detroit Public Schools also has an emergency manager, and there is ongoing speculation that a financial emergency would be declared for Detroit as well. The Department of Treasury announced the decisions and some 3 hours remaining before the polls close in Flint. Democratic Chair Mark Brewer castigated Mr. Snyder. What did he say? Today's announcement regarding Flint's finances on Election Day in Flint is despicable and clearly politically motivated. No truer words have been spoken, Mr. Brewer. No truer words indeed. All right, that does it for us for today. We have a great show for you tomorrow, so you'll pay close attention to that. I want to thank this great audience, Anthony and Jeff. Yeah, you guys did all right today. You know, I dig it. I dig what you do. And again, off the air, if you need me, Tony at thetonyshow.org. I'll see some of you out at Oakland University this afternoon and evening. In the meantime, as always, I ask that you be well.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Tony, our total traffic update this morning. It's been a tough ride. Everyone's needed extra time with wet roadways, slow going. We've had accidents in 75 south at 9, north at 14. They've been trying to clear. We've had slow going 94 trying to come in from about 8 Mile all the way into 75. Drivers on the Lodge, slow going from 696 down pretty much all the way into downtown. Northbound 275, an earlier accident near 9 Mile. We've had pockets of slow traffic at times coming north of 94.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Look for rain throughout the day. Our high near 66. Tonight we're going to have showers, a low near 37. Tomorrow possibly some rain, but our high is only going to be 46 degrees. Last check at Metro Airport, still some light rain and 56 degrees. I'm Diane Cross. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, the home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to